Good evening, and welcome to our February 9th meeting of the City Council. Let the record show that all council members are present, and we'll begin our meeting with a moment of silence. Thank you. To lead us in the pledge today, we have some kids from Del Mar Elementary. We have Nico and Raya, and they're going to tell us about a project, too. But first, they're going to lead the pledge, and that's right over at that microphone. You can pull it down so you can talk into it. Okay, Nico's going to do it.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Nico. Are you going to tell us about the project you've got going at Del Mar?
Okay. We want everyone to invite everyone to Del Mar Elementary's annual art auction on Sunday, March 29th. All of the money raised helps Del Mar Elementary continue to be a distinguished school.
Thanks, Nico. I have a question for you.
Would you hold this for just a minute?
I have a question for you, too. What happened? Did you get to do any of your mural this weekend, or did the rain stop that?
We did start the mural on Sunday. The rain allowed us to proceed, but we are going to wait 2 more weeks for our artists to be available again, and then the students will have their opportunity to do their sketching and painting then. And we want to take this opportunity to thank you for inviting our students to the City Council meetings. It's an honor and very empowering to them as well. And because we have been here several times, we're able to do that mural because people in Morro Bay saw the students, and we had an anonymous donation, and that is the only reason why we were able to proceed with the mural that we are going to
be. Good evening. I'm Molly. This is my husband, Alex. We are the owners of Blue Bean Espresso Bar. We're located in North Morro Bay, the sleepy part of Morro Bay, next door to Taco Temple and Spencer's, with a little blue place on the corner. Our hours of operation are 6 a.m. during the weekdays and 7:30. We open up on the weekends. So we close every day at 3:30, except for Tuesdays we have a half day, and we close at 1. Our situation is a little unique. We do live at the same place that we work. Our house is connected to our shop, so it's kind of like an extension of our living room. Inside you'll find a small, quaint coffee shop with a nice big couch and panoramic ocean views. We've had lots of people tell me that it's like their home away from home. It's very comfortable for them, and that's exactly what we wanted to achieve with our business. We have games, like board games, and lots of different card games. And we also have musical instruments for people to pick up and play if they choose to. And that is not uncommon to see someone playing while they're waiting for their latte. We also are a very kid-friendly environment. I have hula hoops for them to play with outside. We have chalk if they want to draw on the sidewalks. And pretty much everything on the customer area is kid-friendly, so they don't have to worry about breaking anything. We do also have Mommy and Me groups meet occasionally also, if you guys want to spread the word. We serve Ely Espresso. It's the world's finest cup of espresso. It's imported from Italy. It's a higher-end espresso. One of the reasons why we chose that, not only for its fabulous flavor, but it's also very well-known, so we'll get a lot of people pulling off the highway just because they see our Ely logo. It's stands out. It's red, bright red, so they see that on our sign and pull over just for Ely. And we also do serve Java Tree coffee. It's roasted on the East Coast. It is fabulous. The flavor is amazing. And we also brew yerba mate. I brew a full pot of it every day. It's a very popular tea, locally started here in San Luis Obispo. So I always tell people that we have mate on tap. We do have smoothies and bagels. We just started carrying Sue Sando's pre-made sandwiches. And we are now doing a little bit of a panini menu. We started doing some grilled cheese, and so we have a sandwich. It's called a bikini. It's from Spain. It's a Spanish tradition. It's just a grilled cheese with ham inside, very simple, with white bread, but it's called a bikini. And let's see, what else? We have pastries from Slow Baked. We have other pastries from Edna's. They're both in San Luis Obispo. We also have a local jeweler, Mary Edmonds. It's called Mary's Epiphany. I'm actually wearing one of her necklaces right now, and she has her jewelry displayed. And I also do local art on the walls every month. And we have our two-year anniversary coming up in June, so we will be throwing our annual parking lot party with live music and free food and free door prizes. So please come down and check us out and have a cup by the sea at Blue Bean. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, other announcements. On a sad note, we lost Louise Barkas recently. She was very active with the Mobility Masters and a wonderful citizen of Morro Bay. She will be missed. Happy news, the fundraiser Follies is happening, and you can see that on the overhead. It's going to be the two nights this year, the 27th and the 28th of February. Tickets are only $10 for adults and $5 for students with ID. We're going to have all kinds of local acts. It's going to be a lot of fun again. We've got some humorous readings. We've got song and dance. We've got banjo playing. We've got opera, a little bit of everything. We're still looking for some people to help us with serving the goodies. We're going to have some pizza, thanks to Noah, and cookies and coffee. So if you're interested in being a part of that, it's a wonderful evening. Either come as an audience member or come and help. Let me know if you would like to do either one. Tickets are for sale at the Chamber and at City Hall. So hopefully we'll see you there. This is just to let you know, Kids at Sea is a program that Michelle Leary started last year, I think, and has been very successful, and she just sent a little update. They did 9 trips last year and took 200 kids fishing. The kids learn about all the different fishermen, the fisheries, the gear they use, the wildlife in the bay, and
bus. Another item that came up in regard to that is because Mr. Gibson there, who's now the chairperson of the Board of Supervisors, talked about whether the county may become a member or one of the contributing counties that are going to try to delay payments to the state because of the financial crisis and they're withholding county money from us. So those were two kind of statewide issues that are pertinent. A second item, two agenda items I'll put on the agenda for later. One is a letter that the mayor of Arroyo Grande asked us to speak to, and it's about a state safety policy committee that maybe the fire chief knows about that has to do with the SEMS and the NEMS and us sending a letter of support that we not develop a bifurcated system, but that we try to blend them as much as possible. And he's asked for a letter of support from the different mayors. A second thing that I will talk, I think, ask to be on the agenda is that we discussed briefly, informally, about how sewer rates are being changed on how they decide what sewer rates are in the different cities, and I'll bring that up later. Then to move to the Water Resources Advisory Committee that met last week, just to let you know that the conservation element for the county is out if anyone wants to look at it, and comments are still being received for that. And I think that's all, hoping that you'll talk about the meetings that you went to on Friday and what happened there.
Okay, Rick.
Oh, just briefly, don't forget about the EOC medical team being here in Morro Bay the last Monday of every month for your free blood work and medical questions to the nursing personnel that are here, and that's at the Senior Center. Also got an email from the warden at CMC today, the grandmaster for the state that's working for the federal government that's determining how much money California is going to have to spend for inmate health care. Made a statement that he recognizes the situation that we're in with the state budget and the $24 billion price tag. He's thinking of coming down to about $8 billion, so it's more reasonable. They're going to do a study on how many inmate medical beds are going to be needed in the future, so that's still open. And just one last thing, if you noticed in the LA Times this past Sunday, a beautiful picture of Morro Rock right on the cover of the travel section. So we got some free advertisement, which is kind of nice. And I think that's about all I have.
Okay, Noah?
Thank you. A couple of announcements, and actually did want to report to the board along the lines of my attendance at the Air Pollution Control District meeting, my first one there at the Board of Supervisors chambers, and that was an excellent meeting. There's quite a bit happening along the lines of air pollution control and what the district's working with, and I'm working with Janice to get a potential update from the director of the APCD, Larry Allen, some point to the council as a general informational item, which I'll make sure we get that in a timely manner. Along the lines of a general announcement, opportunities for businesses that are having a challenging time as they're looking at the upcoming state taxes that are going to be required to be paid pretty soon. The Board of Equalization has offered a short financial stress program. And I know it's not on everyone's top list to call the Board of Equalization, but they are extending an assistance program to any businesses. And the Board of Equalization has sounded like they do want to make sure that they help and that they're not putting undue strain on businesses and continuing to keep businesses in operation and working out a payment plan or something that could help them. So Betty Yee, she's the chairperson, and she has offered the general contact information for the Board of Equalization at 800-400-7115. That's 800-400-7115, and most businesses know how to get through to their website, which has a lot of information. Councilperson Winholtz and I will be a part of a town hall event sponsored by, a couple of groups, mostly organized through the Air Pollution Control District, Cal Poly Interns, and the Sierra Club. And the focus of this meeting is a Morro Bay Energy Town Hall meeting, which a group of interns from Cal Poly have been basically taking a summary and looking at Morro Bay itself, our energy use, different opportunities for carbon sequestration, and have done a survey of our town, and they'll be presenting this information. The event's going to be free at Windows on the Water, February 19th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. with a mixer before and after. And Bruce Gibson will also be there besides Councilperson Winholtz and myself. And we're looking forward to some dialogue after the presentation from the students and talking generally about opportunities that we have to increase our efficiency here in town. So by the gals at Noi, Little Thai Cafe, they're doing a pasta dinner of all different varieties of pasta. So that should be excellent. And the cost would be $15 to $20. And along those lines, I did have an excellent conversation with a couple of local prominent business people that have either plumbing contracts or are permitted plumbers or have businesses in relation to plumbing that are really interested in this. And I'm looking forward to, in the next couple months, potentially having some breakthroughs with those businesses and seeing Morro Bay becoming a leader in local businesses that are equipped, certified, and knowledgeable about installing gray water systems so we can get these systems rolling and implemented. So hopefully Josh will show up, who's one of the organizers of this gray water systems workshop, which is, again, February 17th, 7 p.m.
Okay.
Thank you.
Carla.
Good evening. Thank you. I was fortunate enough to be one of the members who went to that meeting Friday with the mayor and the harbor director, Mr. Elgert, the city manager, and Mr. O'Brien, the president of the Commercial Fishermen's Association. So we went to Monterey, and the topic was preserving our fishing heritage. And this was the second meeting that Monterey and Morro Bay has done jointly to share the challenges that are facing the fishing industry and some of the problems that the two communities share and can work together to try and share our problems and find resolution. The meeting was pretty interesting. This was my first opportunity, and I hope to participate more. The Nature Conservancy was there. The Ocean Protection Council talked about grant opportunities, of which Mr. Elgert is working on some of those grant opportunities for Morro Bay. Some of the things they talked about was local campaigns, buy fresh fish, sustainable fisheries, a lot of things that we can do here in Morro Bay to support our commercial fishing industry, to help its future, to help the tourism industry, and really to work towards preserving their heritage, which is what's important for them and this organization, or these two groups coming together. The conservation, the tourism, and all the aspects of this, but it was about developing partnerships of the two communities, and it was really a great opportunity. I appreciated being able to go. So.
Okay, thank you. And Rick, you said you had something else?
Yeah, thanks. I forgot one thing. Two things, actually. The Economic Opportunity Commission in San Luis Obispo has a program where they will come to your home and weatherize it for you if you meet financial criteria. Things like insulation, doors that don't shut properly, windows that won't close all the way, this kind of thing. So they have a team out there. You can give them a call, and like I say, if you meet the financial criteria, they'll send a team out to your house to do that. Also, one other thing, this past Friday, the police department had their award ceremony, and Officer Leslie Daly was the Morro Bay Officer of the Year. The Volunteer of the Year was Ian McKnight, who heads the volunteer program at Morro Bay PD. And non-sworn personnel Pat Line, dispatcher, was given that award for non-sworn personnel of the year. Thanks again to Top Dogs Coffee for donating the coffee for the event. They seem to do that all the time. And I just wanted to cover that.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Betty.
Thank you. You reminded me, Mr. Grantham, one of the major focuses of the mayor's meeting was the presentation of several thousands of dollars by PG&E to Slow Green Build. So they will be running a competition in the county, and one person, one household from each city has a potential to win $25,000 to help with the kind of items that you were talking about, weather stripping and other kinds of things to make your house more energy efficient. And the notice is up on the overhead, so people that are in the room, you might note the phone number there, and if someone at home would like to know, they are welcome to call me or to get online to Slow Green Build.
Okay. And our staff reports today are from Harbor and Recreation and Parks and Public Services. Joe, you want to start? You're right at the microphone there.
Sure. I'll begin. Thank you, and good evening, Mayor and Council. I'd like to start with a thank you to all of you for the newly appointed Recreation and Parks Commissioners. Marla Hagel and Karen Crowley attended their first Recreation and Parks Commission meeting at the February the 5th, and also the reappointment of Johnny Munoz and Joan Solu. A special note that our commission, one of the first orders of business was to elect a chair and a vice chair, and they elected Joan Solu as the chair and Christy Hale as the vice chair, and the last vote was for the senior rep, and hopefully we'll have a fine selection for this pivotal position. And lastly, staff has received the electric vehicle that we were shooting for at the beginning of the fiscal year. It came up with several complications. There were warranty items. We called Miles Electric Vehicle on that. They came out. They were in the process of repairing everything that needs to be repaired. We had a dent in the hood, and they replaced that. And they're also throwing in some extra things like lining the bed, the truck bed for us, to avoid corrosion and rust. That concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. And Rick?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A reminder that the Hawaiian Chieftain and Lady Washington are arriving on Friday, February 13th, we think. And they will start tours on the 14th and go through the weekend with tours. With not much real winter weather up to now, and especially with hot spells of the recent months, a few boaters have been caught off guard recently. Large winter swells can come in fair weather and foul, and boaters are encouraged to check the weather forecasts and reports and ask the Harbor Patrol or Coast Guard about local conditions before departing for a trip. We had a couple incidents this weekend. The bar was hazardous. I just want to remind people it's especially true to be cautious when you're transiting the harbor entrance, when 1 hour can be relatively calm and beautiful, and the next hour, depending on a myriad of combination of swells, wind, and tide, very hazardous. Even any boat should be cautious when operating in the entrance area when it's hazardous conditions on a strong outgoing tide. Even a kayak should be very cautious. It might be a very nice morning. As we get into the spring weather, we have prevailing northwest kick in. It can get very windy. The tides can change on you. We get a lot of calls for kayakers who are either unable to proceed or in the water. You can become hypothermic very quickly in 50-degree water if you end up in the water. So it's a very dangerous situation if you don't think it through. Just ask everybody to be cautious, including coastal and beachgoers. There has been high surf. There are often sleeper waves. Don't turn your back on the waves, especially with small children when you're in the tidal areas. At this time of year, the waves are very unpredictable, and a lot of the beach is gone. So remember, winter's here. Be prepared, prudent, and safe. Thanks.
Thank you. And Bruce?
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council Members. Just to give you a quick update, we pretty much finished the repaving of Errol Street. So that project's done in terms of the repaving. We used about 180 tons of asphalt. We also finished or nearing completion, ready to put out the contract for the lift station number 2. We're about 90% complete on design plans on that. That's the lower Embarcadero lift station. And then we've also got plans that are nearing completion, getting ready to put out the bid on the generator project for City Hall, which also provides assistance for the dial-a-ride facility mostly. Some of the other things, just by way of information, we passed our triannual review of the fuel detection and leak system at the courtyard. That's where we have our fuel operations. They do a triannual review. We passed that today. And then on the desal plant, work continues underway. We're on track. We're doing a lot of plumbing and piping system interconnects. A lot of the electrical work will continue on from here. But we're still looking at shooting and getting that completed by March or April. Great. Have any questions, be happy to answer them.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Closed session report. Rob?
Good evening. Prior to tonight's regular council, council met in closed session on two items, conference with labor negotiator. This was the negotiations regarding the fire department. And that is on your regular meeting, and action will be taken later on this evening. The other item discussed was real property transactions. The lease sites was Whales, Tails, and Salt Building. As to these two negotiated items, no action was taken and requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Okay, and then on two of our consent agenda items, I wonder if I could pull them right now and ask their council approval. We have some certificates to present for A7 and A8.
I would so move.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, so the first is a proclamation declaring February as Grand Journey Awareness Month, and for that we have Mimi Kellen and Gail Deegan. And then secondly, it's going to be a proclamation designating February as Spay Day USA. And for that, we have Diana Duncan. So we'll do grand jury first.
Can I say a word? Could I say something? Oh. Okay. All right. Thank you. Yes. Mimi Kellen.
Okay. And then for Spay Day USA, Diana Duncan. Don't be shy. Okay, a little bit about Spay Day USA. Humane societies and shelters have to euthanize approximately 4 million cats and dogs each year. The problem of pet overpopulation costs the taxpayers of this county millions of dollars annually through animal control programs aimed at coping with the millions of homeless cats and dogs. We certainly support your efforts. Therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Morro Bay that February 24th, 2009 is designated as Spay Day USA, and we're calling upon the citizens of Morro Bay to observe the day by having their own cats or dogs spayed or neutered, or by sponsoring the spaying or neutering of another person's cat or dog. And you can certainly add to that.
That's a real good idea. I can see right now I need my glasses. As these years go by, I'm here every year, and I can see right now. I should have brought my glasses this year. Thank you very much. Spay Day USA is a six-week-long campaign in this county where participating veterinarians lower their spay-neuter prices, and the various humane groups rally to support with ads and funding. This year, HART is distributing $25 spay-neuter vouchers to those in need who might not otherwise get this important and simple procedure done for their pets because of expenses. Right now is the critical time of year to get this spay-neuter done. Right now they're out there making those babies that will become those springtime babies and those unwanted litters that we will all have to deal with in 2 months. Two short months. This year we didn't even have a break in kitten season. They are actually still here. Not as many as we have in the springtime, but in 2 months we will be packed again. So please spay and neuter all your pets, all those neighborhood strays, and if anybody has a problem, call HART and we will send you a $25 voucher and a low-cost list of vets in the county that will help. Again, I want to thank the Morro Bay City Council for supporting us every year. We really appreciate it. And I brought two more people, two very important people in the community who do help with all the animal rescue work that we have, and these two people work in the pound. One person was not able to come tonight, and she's our Morro Bay trapper, who's very busy this time of year trapping all the male and female cats out there, doing their thing and probably caterwauling underneath your windows at night. If you are hearing that, please call us, because this is the time of year, which is an excellent time to trap when you're hearing that kind of noise. So please call us.
Is there a number that they can call?
You can call our Cambria shelter number at 927-7377, or you can call 772-HEART. And both numbers will have a recording. Our shelter, we're there every day. But please let us know if you're hearing these problems, and we'll get a trapper out there right away.
Thank you.
And I've got two more people that would like to come up. Ayla and Jane.
Okay.
Thank you, Diana. Hey, I'm Jane Wolzbach. I'm a resident here of Morro Bay and a volunteer for Animal Services and a volunteer for HART as well. And I thank you so much, City Council, for designating February the 24th as Spay Day. It's really important. It's important to the community. It's important to our budget, which we'd like to keep low by not having so many unwanted animals. I'd like to reiterate what Diana just said about kitten season starting. Just did an Adopt-a-Pet yesterday in Paso Robles, and I had several people approach us and say, gee, how do I spay my animal? It's time. We were adopting out cats, so I'll say that this is mainly focused toward cats. What do we do? They said, gosh, my female cat has already gone into heat. And I said, yes, you can't wait till June. You know, everyone thinks June is kitten season, but actually the kittens start being born in March. So this right now is when the kittens are actually started. So this is the important time, and that's why February the 24th is so key. This is just hitting it right on the head. Kittens are a real strain to us at the animal shelter. I work over at the animal shelter on Oklahoma Avenue off Highway 1. They're a real strain to us because when they come in a very large quantity. We actually fostered over 600 kittens this year, our various fosters. It's huge. We also lost, to let you know the bad side of it, between probably 100 and 200 because we had panleukopenia, which is a kitten disease. We were not able to take all the kittens out into foster. There were so many kittens, and several of them several dozen, died at the shelter either because they were positive of panleukopenia or they passed away. So we try very hard to save the animals that do come into the shelter, but occasionally, because of the shelter being crowded and the conditions that we have there, we just can't save everyone. So the bottom, you can't afford to spay or neuter it. Please consider doing it now when the population is very low and we have a very good chance of getting them back out. During May through October, it's very high, and it's very hard for us to place the animals, especially the adult animals. Also, spay or neuter your cats. Just to reiterate what Diana said, there are coupons available for $25 from HART. There are also coupons available through Animal Services, but I think they've run out of them right now. So they're kind of a little bit of hit and miss. But Animal Services does have the cost of spay and neuters for cats and dogs for each vet in the county available to you if you call them. And HART has the low-cost spay and neuters available to you. If you don't have an animal to spay and neuter, consider making a contribution to either HART, Feline Network, Woods, an organization that will help someone else do the spay and neuters there and designate it for spay and neuters. Finally, if you are considering adopting an animal, consider adopting an adult, especially during kitten season, puppy season, because those are the ones that tend to be overlooked and the ones that suffer the most. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Ayla Hald. I also live here in Morro Bay, and I'm a volunteer for HART and Animal Services. I just want to talk a little bit about how Woods also helps the community with litters of puppies and kittens. This past year, Animal Services has made it so that Woods is spaying and neutering every animal that goes out as young as 2 months old, which most vets won't do, but that's as soon as they're available for adoption, so that way they're leaving already altered and nothing's leaving on a spay neuter deposit. Also, if somebody does have a litter and they don't want it, you can turn it into Woods for $35. Granted, it's between 2 and 4 months old. And they also do a really great program with cats. I'm not sure if it's the same with dogs, but they will spay your mom cat and place the litter kittens up for adoption, but they'll return the cat to you for only $60, which is generally cheaper than any vet will spay them for, so that also helps you place your kittens into good homes, and they'll also spay and neuter them so they're not being released unaltered. But pretty much the bottom line is that we need to get them spay and neutered sooner before they have puppies and kittens, and the certificates are available now, and HART also has a list of the vets that are low cost in our county. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Good advice for all of us pet owners. Okay, we'll start public comment, and we're going to start with Joyce Lundy, who has the report from the Measure Q Committee. This is the oversight committee that keeps us in line on how we spend the monies from Measure Q, the sales tax measure. So, we like to hear from them. They're doing a good job, and she's going to tell us what they've been up to.
Hope you can see that all right. Good evening, Mayor Peters, council members, and citizens of Morro Bay. This is our annual report. It's from the Measure Q Oversight Committee, which consists of Homer Alexander, Chair, Cheryl Taylor, Graham Pask, Lanny McKay, and myself, Joyce Lundy, Vice Chair. Cheryl Taylor and Graham Pask are out of town, couldn't be here tonight, but this report has been approved by all members of the committee. For simplicity's sake, we are going to make our presentation using numbers that are rounded up to the nearest $1,000. In the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2008, the District Transaction Tax Fund, or Measure Q, received $832,000 in taxes and $12,000 in accrued interest for a total revenue of $844,000. The fund spent $616,000. On December 3rd, the Oversight Committee met with the Finance Director and reviewed all of the transactions in and out of the fund. This report is a narrative that addresses our findings. We're going to start with general recommendations. In the fourth quarter of the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2007, the fund received, net of startup expenses, $49,000. These funds have never been budgeted. We recommend that the City Council budget these funds. When the City Council established the Measure Q budget for the fiscal year 2007-2008, it used percentages to allocate the money to the individual departments. The original budgeted amount was $650,000. The fund exceeded the forecast amount by $194,000. The city staff has taken the position that the original percentage allocation should be used for the excess. This may or may not have been your interest of $68,000. Our recommendation: we would recommend that the Measure Q fund borrows money from the risk management fund and pay off the third-party auto loans. The transaction tax fund, or Measure Q, would repay the risk management fund from the police department's allocation at an interest rate equivalent to the city return on the invested money in the risk management fund, which is currently returning a little less than 3%. This would result in approximate savings of $3,000 over the remaining life of these loans. We do not think it makes sense to pay a third-party interest when the money is available internally at a lower cost to the taxpayer. Since police vehicles seem to wear out faster than other city-owned vehicles, and since it is our understanding that Measure Q fund will be used for replacement vehicles in the future, we recommend that the city revise the current depreciation schedule for police vehicles so the write-offs of this magnitude don't occur in the future. Our recommendation differs from existing city policy. Fire Department. The Fire Department used their transaction tax allotment for the purchase of fire engine and related radio equipment at a cost of $439,000. Street Department. The funds were used as follows: contracted concrete and asphalt work, $92,000. Rental of equipment and asphalt zipper, $9,000. Software license renewal, $900, for a total of $102,010. Recommendations: there are two items in the above expenses that we do not feel are appropriate for the use of Measure Q funds. We recommend that the City Council instruct the Finance Director to charge these expenses back to the Street Department's general fund budget. The items in question are the software license renewal of $862 and a $2,396 expense for ADA ramps downtown. While we acknowledge that the ADA ramps are important, the ADA compliance project has been ongoing for a number of years and should have been part of the department's regular general fund budget. There was a small amount of money left in the Street Department's general fund budget for contractual services for the fiscal year 2007 and 2008. While in the big picture this is an insignificant amount, we feel it should have been spent before any Measure Q funds were used for street improvements. We were concerned that in the future Measure Q funds could be used in lieu of general fund budgeted amounts, so other expense lines, such as salaries, within that department's budget could be increased. We would like the City Council to reiterate to the City Manager that the Measure Q funds were intended to be used for items that were beyond the normal general fund budget capabilities. Storm drains. The Public Services Department only spent $6,500 on related storm drain projects. Of this amount, the majority of the money was used to purchase a GPS receiver to map the storm drains. This report is based on information supplied to us and our analysis of that information.
Okay. Thank you. And now we're going to let you start off the public comments with switching hats.
Okay.
First of all, any questions on the Measure Q report from anyone in council?
I think you all have
a
packet.
Yes, we're going to deal with it later, but I just wondered if you wanted to ask Joyce anything while she's here. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Switching hats.
Switching hats. Okay. Now I'm a chamberperson. And this is the statistics for the visitor center. In person visitors, we had 641. Phone calls, 857. Business referrals, 1,816. Our website hits 642,073. Web page views, 73,597. And website sessions, 18,074. And a reminder that we have our mixer February the 19th at Edward Jones at 501 Harbor. It's from 5:30 to 7. And as Rick said, the tall ships are coming in. We talked to them today on Friday the 13th, approximately 4 o'clock. Everybody's been calling, asking us when they're coming in. That depends on the weather and a lot of other factors. But at this point, that's what they're saying. If you want to watch them come in, you should. On upcoming, in March, we have our Small Business Networking Breakfast on the 18th, and that will be at the View at the golf course. And, of course, our Kite Festival and Parade is on April the 25th. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay,
Jude, you're first in line there.
Materials for the Morro Bay Library, but I'm confident with the friends of the library and the generous donations that we receive that we'll be able to fill that shortage. Thanks to a generous bequest, we have recently added lighting and an electric and efficient electric fireplace to our lobby. Previously, our lobby has been unheated, so this is just the kind of day you'd like to have a little heat in that lobby. And tomorrow, the Morro Bay Rotary will present a check for $1,000 for summer reading books so that each child who completes the program can select their very own book to keep for theirself. And that's their reward for summer reading, among other certificates and discounts that we provide. One of our current fundraisers is this panoramic photograph of Morro Bay. Photographer Kevin Hadley took this photograph and is donating 25% of the proceeds to the library. We have a few of the framed photos available for $50 and the unframed for $12. It makes a great poster and a nice gift. For more information about our fundraisers, I'd like to introduce Jennifer Redman and her daughter Sierra. Jennifer works at her Edward Jones office here in Morro Bay, and she also supports the library.
Thank you. Oh, I love Sierra's shoes.
Hi.
Hi, Sierra.
We're here as friends of the library. I'm a longtime resident, Jennifer Redman, and we've had older children, and we have a little child, too. And Sierra and I love the library, and we wanted to come and, one, tell you about the fundraiser, and I'm kind of going to let Sierra tell you first why she loves the library, and then I can talk. I love the library because the books and the movies.
Thank you, Sierra. Okay.
We feel very blessed because we go to the library and we rent books so that Sierra can learn to read, and we also feel it's a wonderful way to get movies and DVDs and music and newspapers and magazines. And it's funny, I've been lived here for, probably 15, 16, 17 years. Can't remember. I'm getting old and it goes fast. But I didn't realize there was actually an organization called Friends of the Library where you can actually give back by helping them. And the Friends of the Library do a lot of things, like the quarterly book sale. This Saturday, we had our February book sale. You're done. And through rain or shine, the Friends volunteer, they put it out there, and they actually raised $3,839.60 this Saturday. And that money goes to buy the new books. It goes to buy the fireplace. It helps to buy movies. It helps to buy equipment, many things. Many years ago, they helped build the building. So a lot of people don't realize that the library gets a lot of help from friends, and that's through donations and membership. And the way you can help is, one, you can become a member. An individual member is $5 a year. Family is $10 a year. If you own a business, you could do a $25 a year membership, or a lifetime is $100 a year. And that money really just goes to help in any way. Also, we are going to have another book sale in May 9th, and then we also have one in August and November. And I know a lot of times we think we can go on the Internet and get information, but books are wonderful. It's a wonderful way to educate yourself, a wonderful way to bless somebody else with a gift, and it's a wonderful way to share time with relatives, friends, and children. So thank you for your support. And if you want any more information, you can go to the library and get a form for membership, or you can go on the website. Thank you, and we cherish the library, and we hope you do too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sierra.
Thank you.
Good evening, Ms. Mayor, Honorable Council. My name is Bill Woodson. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I'm proud to say that I'm a friend of the library, and I donate a lot of good books to the library. And if you miss the library book sale, you're really missing one of the highlights of Morro Bay, I think, and I highly recommend it. I'm here tonight to tell you a little bit about trees. And there is a few things that make a good city great. And one of those, okay, we will be part of that program, and we will assume responsibility for an Adopt-a-Tree program. Now, the Adopt-a-Tree program will have, hopefully, three different elements to it. One, watering the tree for two seasons. Two, you can buy a tree. And three, you can buy a tree with a plaque, a bronze plaque, for whatever you want to dedicate it to. So Morro Bay Beautiful says, okay, we're going to adopt a tree. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. And we all know that trees are will make this city this much greater. So step forward. There's no reason why you can't do this. We have containers available to you for free, donated by the council person, Carla. Thank you very much. And we can provide these for you. You might say that you need a vacation relief. Well, we've got those too. And we will provide those for you as well. So please give me a call if you're interested at all in an Adopt-a-Tree for Morro Bay, 772-0494. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. My name is Pauline Stansberry, and I am the president of the Morro Bay Seniors, Inc., and I would like to invite you all to our potluck, February the 20th, 5:15. And if you plan to attend, please call the senior office, 772-4421, and tell them how many of you will be there. That way we can set up more tables, which is a great thing to come to. The seniors will be presenting at that night a check to Joe Woods of Park and Recreation City with a check, a Valentine potluck with a harpist, Valerie Cardell. It will be entertaining. And those of you who are new and wonder about the seniors, we are not a secret society. Most of you in this room probably belong. We have programs and assistance to help seniors with health and to have fun, mainly have fun. That's what I'm doing this year, have fun. You must be, as Joe told me, an eligible adult. And if you don't know what that is, you can raise your hand and I'll whisper it to you. To join and participate, we have lots of activities for just $10. You can contact our office for any information and to sign up. We will have a table at the potluck for our membership because it is now renewable. So if you want a tour of our center, you can call, and I'm available because our girls are one-handed and the staff there, and they can't show you around, and I would be glad to. But we do a lot of stuff, as Grantham said, EOC. We have all kinds of things that I would like all of Morro Bay to know, that we're not just a PG&E and garbage and Culligan and Morro Bay garbage drop-off center. We have all kinds of things that we do and help with medical, EOC, all kinds of information that we have, booklets that we give out. We have wheelchairs, walkers. We have a food program, and a lot of good officers this year. And I want to thank Joe for a lot of these great ideas. Thank you, Joe.
So thank you.
If any of you want to join, just call the seniors or go over there, and we'll be glad to sign you up. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Marcia Alter, and I live in San Luis Obispo. And I'm here tonight because I'm part of a group called Friends of Poems for Endangered Places. This group was formed because we believe that as our elected officials, you are stewards of our environment. And as you do your best to follow the letter of the law and to wade through the facts and figures and to consider the concerns of your constituents, we ask you to also listen to the fragile places in our county and to hear the voice of poetry speaking on their behalf. And for this reason, our group has collected book donations and is giving a copy of this book, Poems of Endangered Places, to each of you. This book was written by seven local poets who all live in San Luis Obispo County and who've spent a year visiting and then writing about the fragile places in our county.
A landscape feature that links, literally links, Morro Bay with the town where I live in San Luis Obispo. It's about the Morro that is closest to where I live that I walk on with my husband and dog every morning. That's Bishop Peak. Mountain mornings. Fog still asleep in the valleys, I climb a loop trail named for a man of the fells who helped save this mountain for all of us. If I'm early enough, fog drips from the oaks like rain, and fellow beings appear, a doe with two fawns, a pair of foxes, sluggish ants carrying grass seeds, morning glories half awake, and always pearly everlasting. I pass through a cattle gate and ascend a ridge into an earthen heaven, atop clouds that mute the highway, the prison, everything below. Rather than eternity on golden streets, I choose a dirt path daily to my bliss.
Thank you so much. That was lovely.
I don't like the setup. I feel somehow inadequate coming to you. My name is Joan Solu, and I'm here to speak to you tonight regarding the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District that is on your agenda. I put before you this evening a list of the hoteliers' rebuttals to the staff report. I'm sure you've had a chance to read the staff report thoroughly, as I have. The first rebuttal that the hoteliers of the city would have would be that the city staff is recommending a 2% BID and not a 3% as approved by the owners, representing 75% of the rooms in this city. The city has, we want to make sure that you note that the city council has eliminated with a 4-1 vote the hotel's ability to participate in a $1.4 million marketing effort of the countywide BID. So taking that 1% away, you've already taken down to 3% what our effort can be, and then it will be at 3% a
approximately a $500,000 effort. At 4%, we would have been in on a $1.4 million marketing effort. So we want you to really take note at that 3%. We really need that to get a strong drive going. The number two point would be that we strongly feel the selection process of the advisory board should follow our recommendations to include two members from the promotions committee, the executive director of Chamber of Commerce, and four representatives from the lodging industry who are selected by vote from the stakeholders, i.e. those people being assessed with the final approval from the city council, contrary to what staff is recommending. We do really strongly urge you to consider the director of the Chamber of Commerce position as vital to being on the board, so that they're not all of the wheels are focusing together, and also we believe that he brings a unique, or he or she would bring the unique aspect of being able to give us information on the entire city businesses. Also, a provision to accept voluntary contributions should be added to include it in the final ordinance, because we have had outside businesses come to us. And the timeline set forward by the lodging industry and the BID specialist should be strictly adhered to in order for June 1st collection. Also, we ask that you take vacation homes and RV parks should be omitted from the ordinance, as they already have contracts in place through the, some of them, through the end even of this year, and that would be problematic for them, and perhaps pull them at a later date. I'd also like to point out to you that if you're thinking about TOT and the BID together and how they're affecting each other, please remember that the effect in the first year would approximately, we are estimating, be $92,000 of increase in TOT through the promotional efforts of the Morro Bay BID, okay? And all the way through the fourth year, we're projecting $626,000. You couldn't get that by taking TOT up 10%. Keep that in mind. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and council members. I'm Johnny Biagini, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Morro Bay Business Improvement District Core Steering Committee, who has worked hard to put before staff and you a plan that will give them the ability to do their jobs. And that's what this is all about. Let them have the tools to do what they know how to do, which is promote their business, so that you, in turn, will also be reaping the benefits of increased tax returns. Give them the tools. As Joan has said, you've already taken away 1%.
3% would be about $500,000, which is certainly a considerable sum of money and a great deal more than we've had in the past, but it would still come up to about half of what San Luis Obispo, Pismo Beach, possibly could spend, and also Paso Robles, not to mention the other areas in the county. But I would like to take a moment just to give you a perspective of where I think marketing-wise we can go with a healthy BID. Up to this point, the doors have been closed to a lot of things that I knew that Morro Bay should do because we just didn't have the budget, such as doors opening into the European markets in Canada, other targeted states in the West like Nevada and Arizona. It will provide funds to strongly promote our existing events and also new ones like the Photography Festival that's coming in October. There's also been talk about a 60s and 70s revival with a vintage Volkswagen car show. Those types of events are great ideas, but they also need to be promoted, and I think this BID effort will go a long way in making those things a success. Also, I think attendance at various trade shows that we've not been able to do in the past. We've experimented with some, but we've had a very limited opportunity to go to shows like Go Green shows, film location shooting shows, various travel shows in states that offer expos, as well as group and meeting planning shows that will help support the new proposed conference center. And finally, I think most importantly, what this BID will do, a healthily funded BID, will give us the opportunity to position Morro Bay where it needs to be positioned, and not merely just state our branding slogan of Discover Your Better Nature, but tell the full story, which can be done in a larger formatted ad, which requires additional budget. So whatever you decide tonight, though, I want to thank you for your continued support of tourism, and thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Council. Nice to see you. I haven't been here for a while. My name is David Nelson. I live here in Morro Bay. A couple of issues. First, our roundabout. How much did it cost? Why were we so over budget, which I assume we were, and scheduling was awful. I mean, I'd like to know as a citizen how much it costs and why it costs that much. And then the gentleman before me talked about the economic stimulus package. I certainly hope that our staff here is on the ball enough to have a shovel ready for projects. I mean, it's obvious to me with the limited amount of stuff that I see on TV and read about the stimulus package that there's going to be money for infrastructure, and God knows we need it. And so, you know, even if it takes having spending some money for studies that puts us in line for this stuff, I sure hope we're on the cutting edge of this. We need a sewer plant. We could get federal money for this. We need our sewer pipes, our infrastructure taken care of. We can get money for this. This will create jobs. And so I hope that we're on the ball there and that our staff is on the ball on that. Another thing is, speaking about the staff, I mean, I believe in living wage for everybody, but I think $500,000 in wage increases at this time is kind of crazy. I mean, our state is about to cut the wages of all the state employees by giving them 2 days a month or whatever it is off. So I really feel for people, but so many people are unemployed, and you're putting our city at risk by spending lots more money than we really have to for what we're getting. Another thing is, I have a bunch of things. I haven't been here this year, and welcome new council people, by the way. Another thing is, in the outfall lease, it calls for Dynegy to get rid of those tanks, that tank farm, by September of this year. Now, you all know that that's the height of our tourist season. So I know you're going to have a meeting with Dynegy. Now, I think it would be a nice gesture for them to get them out during the winter, get it done, get it over with. It shouldn't really take that long because Duke had a plan to do it years ago, but nobody wants to do it because it might cost some money. But for our city's sake, I hope that you can negotiate with them to get them out of here sooner rather than later, and don't let them go past September. Pass a resolution to charge them $1,000 a week or whatever if they're not gone. Do something to make them do it. I mean, they obviously don't want to do it because the energy market is what it is and this plant is what it is. But I think that you have all the leverage. I think if you don't use it, it's silly, and it'll hurt the city. And, you know, people coming into town having a tank farm ripped out, I mean, there's going to be traffic involved with this. You know what the plan is. They've done it. So those are a few of my little hopes for you guys.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. I'm Colby Crosser from Morro Bay. And I'd like to welcome Ms. Borchard. I don't believe I've been in a council member since you've been seated, so welcome. And thank you all for your public service. We'll be relieved of that sometime in the future. There's hope that new technologies and a threat of a warming climate might eventually have another use for that beautiful part of our estuary, which was a Shumash village. The other reason I'm sad is because I'm grieving. Two of my best friends, my tennis buddies, have passed away. Rich Otero and Dr. Nolan were both active in trying to advocate for a citizen use in tennis courts, a couple more tennis facilities for the city of Morro Bay, actually regional. The people of California voted for a bond issue, and that money was awarded by a competitive grant. We got it. I'll direct my comments through the chair, if I might, that because of the Peter principle, having nothing to do with our Mayor Peters, this ineptitude in our staff has risen to its level of perfect incompetence in our city manager at this time. I was the fool to listen to reassurances from Ms. Luker that those tennis courts were going to be played on. Years and years went by. $150,000 of our local tax money went into an initiative that went through the council when I was seated. That $150,000, probably $25,000 or $30,000, has been wasted and frittered away. The protestations that, oh, don't worry about a thing, you don't have to come to city council with your groups of people. We had petitions a couple times of 150 people, a real constituency here locally that wanted to see that project built. And now I guess the plan has come to fruition that the grant money's lost. That project's probably not going to go forward. And I'm afraid it's symbolic. The real good news is that maybe we will become bankrupt or some other financial threat will bring us to the point where we will change from having a city manager system to something like a charter where an administrator might be directed by the council rather than the city manager directing what happens in town here.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. My name is John Barta. And I thought I'd come down here tonight and talk about corn. Now, there's a picture of corn up there, and there's really a lot of things you can do with corn, okay? You can grind it up and make some taco shells and have a nice meal. You can pop it in a popcorn popper and allay your appetite for a short time. Or you can use the corn seed and plant it, okay, and have a harvest in the future from that corn seed. The business people in this community know that we need community promotion. And the way to get that is to plant the seeds of money today to advertise to bring in people tomorrow. And the harvest that will come with that comes in the form of room taxes, it comes in the form of sales tax, it comes in the form of economic activity in our community. So what they have done is said, you know, we're just not getting enough, so we're going to tax ourselves. They want to tax themselves 3%. And use that money as seed money to bring wealth to our community in the future. For the life of me, it's really hard to understand how this council could look at that corn and say, well, we want to take a third of that corn away from you so we can make some tacos today or this year when we need it in the future. We need the corn to be planted now to grow in the future and bring wealth to our community in the future, or at least help our community survive in the future. So it may be a little parable about corn, but the fact of the matter is you have to plant these seeds in order to have a future, and the people in this community, the business people, are willing to tax themselves to do this, and you should stand behind them fully in doing that. And if they were to ask for 5% or 10% to tax themselves, I would think you should be on board with even that. And to cut it to 2% is, well, I think I explained that about the corn. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, good evening, Mayor, Council, and staff. My name is Joshua Carmichael, owner of Carmichael Environmental Landscaping Design Firm. And I'm here tonight mostly just to publicly invite you guys to an event that we're putting on as the SLO chapter of the California Landscape Contractors Association. I'm the programs director this year for that group. And our first event is going to be held February 17th at the SLO Botanic Garden. And I want to talk about permitting gray water projects and something that we want to get out to all the municipalities here as well as the public and contractors that can help put these projects in. So working with SLO Green Build and the City of San Luis Obispo and the County of San Luis
for coming on the board, I thought I'd wait a little while and make sure she'd stay. My name is Harold Biagini, representing the Embarcadero Inn, and I'm just here to say we need that 3%. The motel industry here in Morro Bay is the second largest contributor through taxation that you get, the largest, of course, being property taxes. So we need that 3% because most of the motels do have their own little agenda of advertising Morro Bay and their business, and without it or with any reduction at all, they won't be able to do as well as they can do with the 3%, so we do need it. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Harold.
My name is Kathy Wells. I'm here to address the approval of spending $43,000 for a new flatbed truck that our harbor director requested. This is for the towing of a 26-foot rad boat for so-called servicing twice a year. My husband owned a rod and craft here in Morro Bay for many years. He operated a business at our Harbor Department, State Fish and Game, Army Corps of Engineers, PG&E, Movie Studios, Chevron, and Coast Guard, to name a few, hired for contract work. It was never necessary, even unheard of, to purchase a $43,000 vehicle to transport this boat for maintenance, a boat, mind you, that worked on a daily basis in our bay and points beyond. The claim of the needed $43,000 by our harbor director is because he says the existing flatbed has some life but is not powerful enough to transport the existing vessel, although it has done so up until this point. To spend $43,000 on a new truck that will be parked in the salt air that will tow a boat over the hill a couple of times a year is ludicrous. Where is the forethought and reasoning on part of the city staff or mayor? Mr. Alkert doesn't care. This is not coming out of his pocket, but us taxpayers' pocket. I guess we shouldn't be surprised, as this idea comes from the same harbor director that squandered $40,000 of our money to design a boatyard on land that the city didn't even own. A bit more expertise and forethought from someone we pay $160,000 a year, but that's another story of many. Getting back to the new harbor truck Mr. Alkert wants, for a fraction of this cost, you can go on eBay, Craigslist, or Truck Trader and purchase all the trucks you need, particularly in this economy. The fat city days are over. Many of you don't seem to get this, and now the price of the temporary harbor office is coming in at $600,000 for a modular. Come on. This is for an additional 500 square feet. How about spending a fraction of this amount on fixing up the existing perfectly good building, get Mr. Alkert a room uptown, give him a webcam for $100, and he can keep an eye on what in the good old days used to be a thriving waterfront. We have staff members that our mayor and some council members put all their faith in, yet these people's main interest in Morro Bay is a paycheck. Most don't live here in the city. It seems as though they could care less. I really can't blame their irresponsibility and careless choices with the taxpayers' money, as our mayor and not all but most past council have given them all a free run at the citizens' expense. In closing, if Mr. Alkert brings up again the $3 million pork palace he proposed a couple of years ago to provide a permanent harbor office, we should consider terminating his position and turn the management of the Embarcadero lease sites over to the city manager. Many of us wonder why the harbor director doesn't just deal with water-related issues, thus not controlling and trying to redesign the Embarcadero. By eliminating this position, we the taxpayers could save the city an additional $160,000 a year for a job that the city manager should be doing anyway. Let's see, we have friends of the library, friends of the fire department, friends of the police. Perhaps we should start a group called Friends of the Taxpayer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Council, Mayor. I was wanting to compliment you all on the wonderful job you did in appointing all of the people to our boards and commissions just recently. Linda Merrill, sorry, Morro Bay. You did a wonderful job, really. People apply. They want to offer their services. I've done it, and I know it's sort of nerve-wracking when you get there to answer the questions, and if you've never done it before, it is kind of scary. And I want to tell you all that you did a wonderful job of making people feel comfortable, I believe. And the people who were not appointed, I was just wondering if it might be a thought to offer them to be alternates. If you have a board that and commission members that can't attend, for instance, the boards, say, Rec and Parks or whatever, you could perhaps have someone as an alt families. They have businesses, so they're willing to do that. I just had one question. Is if the BID goes through and there's a disgruntled motel owner, and would the city be responsible? Would this person be coming back to the city and saying, I lost money, my motel didn't make any money, I don't think you promoted me well enough, or whatever. And so would the city ultimately be responsible for how this all turns out? I mean, I think the people who are involved have good hearts. I know that they'll do a tremendous job, but I just had that one little question about that. And I want to thank you all for all of your efforts on the council. I think you're doing a tremendous job, and I wish you a good evening. Thank you all.
Thank you. And thank you for your continued participation.
Thank you.
Galen Ricard, Baywood Park, but also a member of the business community here. I just want to echo a lot of what has been said about the BID tonight. What a great investment it is in terms of corn, in terms of our economic future, and just urging your full support of this business grassroots effort that shows some of the best thinking and innovation and self-determination in Morro Bay, and the sustainability word, you know, that this is very much about building the sustainability factor into our economy. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? All right, a couple of comments were made that I think we ought to do some responses to. Bruce, the roundabout cost, the stimulus plan, and the Dynergy tanks.
Yes, Madam Mayor. The roundabout cost us, and we're still sorting through the final payment, but it cost us in the order of about $1.5 million. A lot of that cost was related to water and sewer work that was beyond the scope of the project that we found out when we got into there. We also had some fine-tuning of the design. Just to let you and everybody else know, we've already submitted a package of shovel-ready projects. We've got $70 million worth of shovel-ready projects that we've submitted to Caltrans, to Lois Capps' office, and there are a couple inquiries from Caltrans and Slocog. But at any rate, we've got $70 million in shovel-ready projects, about $20 million that'll be ready within 6 months to a year, and then another $30 million that we expect to be ready beyond a year and further out. That includes the wastewater treatment plant. And just by the way, throughout the day, we're investigating numerous funding opportunities. And when it comes to times like this, we prefer to be nimble and quick. And we have been, and we've got applications floating around for all kinds of money in all kinds of different places. And finance director and our capital and projects person is going to go to a funding fair tomorrow or Thursday. So, you know, and we were just there last week, and we've had folks all over. So we're pretty active and proactive following up on any hint of money being available.
And we are getting reimbursement by the state for parts of the roundabout cost, right?
Yes, some of that is coming back now. We are out a little bit of money right now, and we're waiting to see what the balance of those payments are.
We were
reimbursed the majority, but we've just been told to sit tight, and we have to wait until they clear through. And there are a couple different dates that us and everybody else in the state is kind of waiting on.
I asked at Slocog the Caltrans representative, and he said that those payments will come. They don't know when yet, but they will come, so we can rely on getting it someday. As far as the tanks, Rob, do you have a comment on that one?
We are aware there is. It's not in the outfall lease, but it's in the agreement to lease that Dynergy or the predecessor Duke Energy agreed to remove the tanks by 9:09. We have reminded them of that deadline. They do want to meet with us not only about, they didn't mention that issue, but other issues, and we'll be having a closed session on that. I believe it's scheduled early March is when we'll be meeting, or sometime in March, and then we'll have a date with Dynergy to discuss that and any other issues.
Okay. And Andrea, tennis courts.
The tennis court project is funded. The money that the council funded, $150,000, has been used for things like soils reports and plans, so certainly not frittered away. It's money that needed to be used for the project. We did get word from the state of California that the bond fund has been suspended, but we believe that the bonds or the grant funds will be paid and the project will go ahead. We certainly don't feel confident or comfortable at this point to proceed with a project when we don't have the funding in hand.
Okay, and Rick, the truck.
I'm curious to know if there's an opportunity to evaluate that, and at some point, if we feel it's perhaps more of a challenge than it's worth, that we could readjust at that point. And just wanted to get that question out there.
Absolutely. We'll continue to look at it and see how it goes. Fortunately, our experience has been more favorable than unfavorable with it, and hopefully that trend will continue, but we'll keep an eye on it. And if we need to make adjustments, we're always mindful to do that for safety and operations.
Okay. Anything else? Then we'll take a short break, and we'll come back with our business items. Okay, we're back, and let's do our consent agenda. Did anyone wish to pull anything?
I would like to pull A2, please.
All right. Anything else? All right. May I hear a motion approving A1, 3, 4, 5, and 6?
Second.
All in favor? I'm sorry. Yes. And Carla seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, Betty, A2.
A2 is the resolution to adopt the mid-year budget amendments that we talked about last meeting 2 weeks ago. And I would like to take out of here, Mr. Amba will be undelighted with me, the $110,000 from the general fund for the neighborhood compatibility contract and the housing element and the water management plan. In email exchange, the water management plan is really not a plan, right? It was actually for some items. It was for work, not a plan.
The stormwater piece was for improvements, yes.
Yeah, it was actually for improvements. And now I would have a question in light of what the Major Q people were saying, that would this fall under that category there, all that money was not spent previously, just the $6,000, and could we pay for that through there?
No, I'd refer, we kind of reconciled their suggestions and agree with them on with respect to Major Q.
Mm-hmm.
And with the stormwater improvements, we've just got improvements we were going to install. So these are physical improvements.
Right. But could these be paid for through Major Q, I guess is what I'm asking, if all that money was not spent in the previous cycle? I don't know if the city manager knows that or if the city finance director.
Well, we just supplemented with an additional $50,000, I believe, to Susan. Help.
Yes. We did have extra money because we got more money than we expected.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have the $49,000 that's currently unbudgeted.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that money is available.
Okay. I'd like to suggest that storm management activities be paid for then out of the undesignated Major Q money. And then my two comments regarding the housing element and the neighborhood compatibility. These are both
we'll speak to the housing first. I believe we did this in-house. Mr. Prater did that for us 5 years ago, and with the reduced activity and planning right now, I'd like to see this done in-house.
It's just really not enough time to do that, especially for a new person that's trying to get adjusted to our policies and programs. I mean, perhaps if that was the only thing they could do, then that might be possible, but it's really not the way things are. So it's a number of things. It's the changes in the legislation, it's the accelerated time frames, and it's the lateness in which we're responding because we've had these staff shortages.
Mm-hmm. I understand that, and I think still in light of our frugalness that we need to practice, that even a consultant would have to get used to our new rules, and what better way than for our staff person to get used to that. So I'm still going to recommend that we do this in-house, as well as the neighborhood compatibility. I think that needs to be done in-house, too. I don't see the need to spend, and it's on two different pages in here. It's you'll find it on page 4 and then again on page 7. That the housing elements for $60,000 and the neighborhood compatibility is $25,000 and the stormwater management plan is for $25,000. So certainly in Measure Q, there's enough money to cover the stormwater management plan.
Madam Mayor and Council, if I may add, what we're in jeopardy of if we fall behind on the housing element is our affordable housing rehabilitation program. And that's key to our home rehab program, which, by the way, we have $448,000 that's already been authorized to us. And then also our community development block grant rehab fund is also in jeopardy if we fall out of certification or perhaps get behind in certification when we're trying to roll forward with these programs that we're already underway with.
Do we have to the end of the year to get in the housing element, even though they want to see it by June?
No,
is that right?
No, they're telling us it needs to be certified by August 19th, and that includes the 2 months before, and it includes the Planning Commission review and approval, and then includes the City Council review and approval.
And we've known this for a couple of years.
Well, we those dates were set after we got our regional housing needs assessment numbers from the SLOCOG, which just happened a couple months ago.
Okay, to follow up then, the neighborhood compatibility, could you just go into that and why that's a separate issue as well?
To give you some idea, what the direction we got from the council would be to, we have to get in and collect data, and we can't just pick numbers out of the sky for what a prevailing Florida area ratio would be, which was the direction that we got. And what we're saying is it takes somebody, we have five different residential neighborhoods with different prevailing lot size and built-out standards in them that we would need to survey to get a prototypical Florida area ratio, if you will, before and try to test those to see what threshold this council is willing to live with in creating non-conforming development in these neighborhoods. And then writing the code and then coming to the Planning Commission and the council. And let me remind you, that only includes one draft of the plan. So that's a pretty, there's a lot of data collection. There's a lot of data collection that went into this, and there was a lot of data collection that still needs to be done to give you some numbers pursuant to the direction you've given us.
Okay. Other comments or questions?
My response would be that we have maybe made the neighborhood compatibility ordinance a little bit too elaborate and that we could bring that back. There's other cities that have done this that we can model under. Our own residents have given us an ordinance that we can look at. Maybe rather than pass it tonight, but maybe this is an item that we need to bring back with a new council and see what the direction is that we want to go with now. So I would move that we pass the resolution of number 0409 adopting the mid-year budget amendments with the elimination of the $110,000 for contracted services under public services. And then if that motion passes, then I would make a motion that we use Measure Q money for the stormwater management items.
Do I hear a second?
I'd like to suggest a adjustment with the motion.
You want a second?
Is that a motion, or are we still having discussion?
I was making a motion so we could discuss then.
Second for discussion.
Okay. Go ahead.
And I actually was thinking very much along the same lines as you, especially with the reduced permits and building projects coming through the department. I thought, well, if we can utilize these positions and do some of this work in-house, that would be my preference. So along those lines, I feel like the neighborhood compatibility discussion and development of that project would be one that could be compatible in-house. From the information that Mr. Ambos brought forward about the housing element, I'm not so sure that we need to include that as something that we try to tackle in-house at this point. It seems like with the accelerated timeline, that would...
We reconcile it. We've shifted money over from the GIS collection and for some of the ADA stuff and recommending that it be put back in streets versus storm drain. It was... A correction was brought to our attention.
Okay. Well, I would go along with Noah in that I can see supporting bringing back the neighborhood compatibility and see what else we can do with that. Use the Measure Q for stormwater, but I would not be willing to pull out the housing element. Rick?
I'd just like to know if our finance director has any objection to that or if you concur with that.
I think it's a great idea to use the $49,000 of Measure Q for the stormwater plan. As far as the other two reports, I know that we really need to get the housing element going. We could jeopardize our redevelopment agency without that. And then, of course, Mr. Ambo knows best about the neighborhood compatibility, whether or not he can do that in-house. I couldn't speak to that. But I would very much, very strongly recommend that we keep the housing element, definitely use the Measure Q money for the things we can.
Madam Mayor, if I can add, we're currently spending in the order of about $9,000 a month on contract planning services for 25 hours a week, which is almost slightly above halftime. Just in case anybody'd like to know, we've got 37 active projects in the pipeline right now, okay? So these things still need, it's not like we're not having any activity. As a matter of fact, planning revenues, if you've noticed, have been above where we estimated. Furthermore, we've got 13 advanced planning projects in the pipeline, including the housing element, including the housing element, the general plan, local coastal plan, the zoning ordinance, and the redevelopment feasibility study and perhaps the formal formation of that. So it's not like there isn't an appetite for advanced planning activities. We've got the runways are pretty full.
Okay. Madam Mayor, if I could just add another note. Mr. Ambo and I discussed the neighborhood compatibility issue, and he has let me know that it can certainly be done in-house, but if that's your direction for us to come back with that issue, we'll let you know about the timeline, and that would be very important for you to know at this point that the timeline for completing that at this point is probably about 18 months to 24 months because of the time to get our planners up to speed and do the kind of work that Mr. Ambo has indicated. So, you know, I think the good news is that, yes, it can be done in-house. The bad news is that it's going to take some additional time because of our change in personnel. So I think it's very important that you know that.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have a motion on the floor.
Can I get clarification, please? I'm sorry. The Measure Q money we're talking about is $25,000 of the $49,000, not $49,000.
Right.
Thank you.
I would be willing, in light of the council's statements, to take out the housing element from the vote and leave in the other two items.
Okay. Restate your motion then, please.
That we adopt resolution number 0409, adopting the mid-year budget amendment with the elimination of the stormwater management plan and the neighborhood compatibility standards.
And then you'll do a separate motion on using the Measure Q, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Do you agree to that new motion?
Yes. Second?
Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. Second motion.
Is it appropriate here, or should we wait and talk about it under the Measure Q item, Mr. Schultz?
You should do it now.
Let's do it now
because you took it out now.
Okay. Then I would move that the stormwater management plan activities in the neighborhood of $25,000 be taken out of Measure Q monies that were in the original undesignated amount of $49,000.
Okay, seconded by Rick. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, thank you. So that's it for consent. We will now move on to item D1, which is authorization to recruit and fill a halftime Recreation and Parks Maintenance 2 position. Joe?
Honorable Mayor and Council, thank you. D1's request to Council to authorize staff to recruit and fill a vacancy of a halftime position in Maintenance 2 in the Recreation and Parks Department. As you will recall, Council's policy was set in the fiscal year 2004-2005, requiring approval for filling any vacancies or new positions to come before you. In fiscal year 2005 and 2006, the Recreation and Parks Department was asked to cut from our general budget 20% of our total operating cost, which is about $380,000. Cuts relating to the Parks Division included reduction of a full-time maintenance. Parks Department was severely cut, probably the most severely cut department in the city, and we continued to reduce our O&M expenditures. And we continue to ask staff to do more with less. And I think that they are doing a terrific job. And in September 2008, we came and we began our consolidation of the maintenance divisions, parks and facilities. We eliminated one full-time management position. That was a facility superintendent position, and we combined them to be one maintenance superintendent position. This savings was approximately $70,000 annually. We continue to consolidate our maintenance operations for efficiencies and cost savings. In 2008, Council approved our filling of the vacancy of a retired position. We had an employee that retired after 36 years of service. We filled that position internally, and that individual had the halftime with benefits. Staff has adjusted work schedules and duties to accomplish the consolidation to maintain efficiency and health and safety of the community. We recognize that both of these are a priority of Council, and we're urging you to make a motion to allow staff to recruit and fill for this halftime position. Thank you.
Okay. Questions for staff? I've got one. Your staff report says that this is the Cloisters Assessment District funds this position.
That's true. This fiscal year, we've changed our policy. Previous fiscal years, we have made journal entries at the end of the year to reconcile expenditures to the assessment districts. This fiscal year, we are doing that on an ongoing basis. And to provide the level of service, all parks maintenance individuals are in the 6160 account, which is the General Fund Parks Division. And as they work out at the Cloisters Assessment District or the North Point Assessment District, those hours are overridden to those accounts biweekly.
Okay.
So when I say the position is there, basically it's the man hours that are appropriated to those assessment districts, and the overrides from the general fund are done on a continual basis through payroll.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions? Any?
Yes, please. May I say this succinctly and correct it, that this is a part-time position and it does mostly outdoor care. It's not a maintenance position in terms of restrooms and things like that. It's mostly the caring of the lawns and the one that we're trying to fill at this point.
Yeah, I understand. I just wanted to make sure I didn't cut you off.
Yeah, thank you.
No, part of our consolidation and efficiency movement is to not separate those duties. We have a person at a park there to clean the restroom and do the core duties in the park itself. So part of our consolidation and efficiency is going to be a multifunction. So they're not just caregivers of the grass or mm-hmm. the bushes or the trees. They do structural as well as landscaping. So that's, like I said, part of the consolidation. There is a little bit of cross-training that we're dealing with right now, and that's what we've done is we've just recently changed work schedules and times so that every individual in the maintenance is working the same time schedule, and they're working together more on certain days and less on the weekends. So we have the core of our work, large projects, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Less staff is on Monday and Friday, and less even on the weekends. But still, with the consolidation and the efficiency, you're getting two full-timers in both divisions, Sunday and Saturday. And they're splitting the duties as far as the waterfront and non-waterfront parks and facilities. So you're getting the efficiency, you're getting the joint use and the commingling, if you will, of building maintenance and park maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions?
No? Yeah, so curious to know if the department, because of the potential seasonality of the intensity of the requirements of the job and things along the lines of cleaning the bathrooms during the tourist season and so on, has the department ever utilized a seasonal type of a situation for employee support for things like cleaning bathrooms and the real peak seasons for us? And also, I guess, the other potential option there would be, have you ever utilized an overtime program, and if so, who would authorize that if that was the case?
Your question about seasonal help, we haven't brought in seasonal help. We feel that we're most every hour of the work week. Most work weeks right now, actually all of them, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. And we were at a point where we were going 6 to 6 on Saturdays and Sundays, but we've brought that down to 6 to 6 on Saturdays and 6 to 2:30, actually 7 to 3:30 on Sundays. So we cover a lot of time with very few people, and they're very diverse. And to take those off of the winter hours would suffer. We would suffer in other areas. Oftentimes in the previous last year in the winter storms, we called in two people, and we were responding with the streets department, pulling limbs and freeing up roadways and so forth during storms. So you have a very diverse work force that does respond to emergencies. I had said earlier we don't operate on a Chamber of Commerce day 7 days a week. There are disasters, there is rain, there is vacation time, there's sick time, and when we're bare bones across the board, any little hole, even at a halftime position that we're asking for now, it severely cuts our service to the public. And that's when we start jeopardizing health and safety. And I think that our plan when we're consolidating this maintenance crew and we're setting out the efficiency that we're trying to get to with the service level that the community expects, as well as the visiting tourists. They come here and they see our public buildings, and it represents us. So that's a service level that we take seriously and we'd like to continue.
Okay. Other questions? Anyone? Want to do a motion?
Motion.
Sure.
Move approval of D1.
Do I have a second? All right. I'll second. Discussion? Obviously, we have some concerns. Anybody want to say what their concerns are?
I'm interested to hear from the other council members.
Well, I just, as much as I'd like to support the Parks and Recs maintenance position, I'm very concerned about our budget as far as our staffing right now. When we're just giving the last pay raises to the last group of city employees, and I just feel like this probably isn't the time with the pay and benefits, it comes out to about $24 an hour for a part-time maintenance person by the time you add their benefits. And I would certainly hate to hire somebody that we're going to lay off in a couple months, so I just don't feel comfortable about it right now.
Noah?
I too have those same concerns, and spent quite a few hours, I guess you'd say, talking with Joe and getting up to speed with him over the last couple of days or work days, learning more about the things that he's done to adjust and increase efficiency within the department, and I certainly respect those efforts. At the same time, with what Carla said and what we're looking at with our budget, I have concerns that we are perhaps filling a position that we could need to cut in the future. And My inclination is definitely not to pull people off the streets and to keep these positions going full steam. At the same time, we have a bit of an unknown as far as our revenue stream for the next half of the year leading to the end of the year budget. And part of me, although Joe disagrees and I respect that, feels like we should wait to fill this position or consider filling this position until the end of the year budget so we get perhaps a better snapshot of what our revenues are doing. We also did talk about the idea of enhancing, and I know the program has been being developed and is an ongoing project for Joe, of the alternative workforce options, which include volunteers, community service workers, and so on. And he assures me that that's part of the goals and objectives with the program and the department. And I do want to make sure that we are expanding on those programs and really working in every department to utilize those sort of services to help us maintain a high level of service to the community. This is a tough decision, and at this point, I think I'd like to hear maybe what Betty has to say about this, what your feelings are, and make my decision from there.
Okay. Betty?
It's very curious for me because we've been a council for the last 4 years that has asked that we bring these positions before us and for review because of our tight budget, and yet every time we've given it away, every time, to new city planners, new whatever department, not to pick on Mr. Ambo, but we're constantly hiring new people in for people that leave. Even when Mr. Luzat left, we combined two positions, but do we even need that position? Could we have done away and just worked with who we had? So as many times as we've given away the store, I hate to give it away.
Barcadero, because it's a reflection of us as a city when they go in there and it doesn't look like anybody's been in there to clean for a week or two. Doesn't leave a very good taste, you know. I don't have a problem with this.
Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, I would add just a little bit. I know that you need to add your comments if you'd like to do that first.
Go ahead.
I think that I will. I guess that we have to start taking a stand. And having been frustrated with that in the past, there's no reason not to continue with that quest. And so I think I will vote against this. And I apologize to Mr. Woods for that, but we have to start somewhere, and this must be the place. I understand that Cloisters does pay an assessment, and I understand that it doesn't necessarily cover all that it needs to do at this point. So they understand that they may be seeing a reduction in their services, which means they may need to raise their assessment.
Okay, I don't think that's how the assessment works.
Can I?
Just my turn. Rob, how's the assessment work? If we can't, if this doesn't pay our costs, aren't we supposed to provide the service anyway?
Well, the assessment district can't be raised without
right.
the vote of all of the homeowners, so it's not going to be raised. There's no CPI increase in the assessment district's $144,000. I'm not sure where the budget amount has come out the few years. I know we were over it in a few years, and we've cut back service in that area. I think it's important to realize, though, you know, whatever your vote is if it is to eliminate a position, there is a reduction in services, and I'm sure they can come back with a report, or if they can explain that to you, what those reduction in services are if they can't today.
Carla? I'm sorry. If you read the first line of the fiscal impact, it says right there, this is a general fund position. So the position in the Cloisters will still have to be fulfilled somehow through the Parks and Recs, regardless of, I mean, they pay their assessment, and they'll still get somebody maintaining their district. This is funded through general fund, so their level of service should not change. It's going to have to come from somewhere else within the general, from right. his department. So,
right, and that's the problem.
Well, it also, if you read down there, I'm sorry, if you read down one more line, it says, to maintain current level of service. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're coming to terms with the fact here real soon that we can't continue to do that.
Okay, well, then the last line says there'll be no additional financial impact on the 08-09 general fund resulting from this action. So, in other words, this position is funded already through the 08-09 budget, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So it doesn't make any difference for this. For the end of this year, we can maintain it. For, you know, after that, if we want to cut services and everything again, that's fine. I just feel that, you know, when we have an obligation to fulfill this for the assessment district, and we've had a lot of complaints about that assessment district, there's no way we're going to raise it. That's not going to happen. So we're going to have to provide the service and cut other places. So that's a decision that we'll have to make. If you want to hold it off until mid-year budget to do that, that we can certainly do, but it doesn't make a difference for this budget year. It's already budgeted. So,
Madam Mayor.
But understand that this budget is already in the hole, and we will be borrowing from another fund in order to cover this position as well as all the others that we just approved a minute ago. And it's, and you're right, we will not be raising the assessment. It will be up to the assessment owners, the property owners, to decide whether they want to raise their assessment. And surely they may not want to, but it's their choice.
Andrea, did you have something to offer?
Well, I was just going to add, and Mr. Schultz did bring it up, but it looks like we're going for a no vote. But I will remind you that we have continued to take cuts in the Recreation and Parks Department since 2005. The maintenance budgets have been slashed, and because these are the people that are doing cleaning your restrooms and mowing your lawns, you will see a hit in what we will plan to do, certainly, if you do a no vote, is provide you what won't be done. And we're happy to provide that. We don't have that for you tonight, but we'll bring it back in a memo form. I would ask that you allow this position to be filled, and we take a look across the board in our budget process for the next fiscal year. As far as staff is concerned, that makes sense. I do appreciate Mr. Councilmember Smuckler's talk about alternative workforces, and I think this department has done an outstanding job in using alternative workforces. I will remind you cautiously that alternative workforces are wonderful, but they continue to need to be supervised, and that is time-consuming. So, again, our push is to have a yes vote, of course, and then revisit the entire package when we bring our budget forward to you in just a few months.
Okay. Any more comment? All right.
I would make a motion that,
as a community, want to support a quality product here in the county and the community. So please don't feel like this position is completely lost, and we are ready to consider it again in the future if necessary.
Thank you. Can I add one thing, Madam Mayor? That service reduction level, and as I outlined that to the city manager, I would just be looking for council support through the months to come, when reductions of service levels do hit the community, that you support staff in every way that you can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Along those lines, I would also ask that we, as part of this discussion about service levels, that, and I'm sure you're already planning on doing this, but there are obviously some high-level priorities for us within maintenance and operations that we, as a council, I'm sure don't want to cut into, and other things that may not be as high of a priority, and that we consider that as we look at what potential services may be reduced.
Okay, so there will be a memo telling us what the reductions will have to be with the loss of this position. Okay. All right, moving on to item D2, consideration of recommendations from the Citizens Oversight Committee. Susan.
Good evening, Mayor Peters and council members. I won't reread the report from the citizens since it was read into the record in public comment. So I'll just let you know our recommendations. Staff is not supportive of the recommendation to pay off the police vehicle loans, primarily because we might need that money for operations. While it's about $150,000 that we would be paying to the bank to pay off those vehicles, I still think it's very important for us to keep everything we have on hand just in case. We also don't agree with the recommendation to change the depreciation schedule on police vehicles. Those schedules are set up by governmental accounting standards it's not an arbitrary number that we pick out and say, let's charge this for this or this for that. Those are pretty much standards. We also do rotate the vehicles around. Once they are deemed unfit for active police service, we rotate them to the volunteers. We could use them as a pool car. There are other things we can do to them to keep them around for the full 5 years of their useful life. So that I would not recommend those two things that the measure. I do not agree with those two recommendations from the Measure Q committee. Regarding the streets corrections, we are in agreement with the Measure Q committee. And we'll make those adjustments if council approves them. And back to you.
Okay. Questions for staff? No. All right. Rick? Okay. No? Yes? Okay. Comment?
I agree with your disagreements regarding the bank loans and the depreciation policy. The software license renewal was a mistake in billing. We have no problem with that. ADA ramps, I feel, have their own funding sources. And the street maintenance, I agree that it should be depleted before Measure Q goes into effect to cover additional street maintenance costs. So so that's where I am on it.
Other comments? Carla?
I have a question. Susan, on the depreciation, is there a difference in how you depreciate the vehicles when they're used by the police department versus once they transfer to another department, like for just community service or a different department? Does that change the value factor?
No. The vehicles, all automobiles, are depreciated for 5 years. So even if we were to put them into service in the police department and they've done their 2 to 3 years, which is a normal lifespan on a police vehicle, an active police officer vehicle, patrol car, if we were to then transfer them down to, the volunteer program, there would still be a remaining 2 to 3 years for that vehicle to be in service before it would be fully depreciated. It's 5 years no matter what we use it for.
Okay, and then I have one other question. When I'm reading through this, then we're getting 3% on our money and we're paying 5.25% on the loans. And then we have a remaining $25,000, I believe, in the unallocated Measure Q money because we just used.
And that's what I'm concerned about, because we are in some pretty difficult times right now. And while I don't want to say the sky is falling, I just like to make sure that I have enough money to make sure that I can pay the bills. And the money that I want to rely on is money that's not dedicated for water, for sewer, for any of our special revenue funds. I'm looking more at money that we have the ability to make decisions about that we can actually dedicate. And that's our risk management fund, that we can look at dedicating pots or parts of that money, our general fund accumulation fund that we can use, and then the general fund. So I hate to give up $100,000 of that, but if council wants to do that, I will do that.
So then just one. Last year the Measure Q was $844,000, and then they're saying that the approximate savings would be $3,000 in interest, and that was just on the one loan package?
That was on the five vehicles.
Okay, that wasn't including the other two. Thank you.
Yeah.
Looking at the list of what Measure Q committee says should come out of general funds, are the ADA ramps, do they have a separate dedicated source fund for funding, or would that be a general fund?
We do have a project for ADA ramps. It's been going on for a few years. I would have to refer this to our city attorney to make sure that these particular ramps would fit in with that capital project, but we do have $45,000 that we've dedicated for ADA ramps.
Well,
if you do recall, we were involved with litigation over our ADA issues, and I believe, though, we have completed that program and are outside of it. So during that time, it was $75,000 we were obligated to spend. So if our budget this year was $45,000, then we have completed those obligations under that settlement agreement. We just have continued because I think what we did is we've dropped back since we weren't obligated to the $45,000, which we were spending traditionally before the litigation.
So it is still being an active fund
and
for that purpose.
And that $2,000 could be used
until
for
we
it.
Finish them all.
And we still have ADA issues.
Okay. And what, Andrew?
I'm sorry. And we still do have some ADA issues to address.
Okay.
So if we were to make a motion for ADA ramps not to have anything to do with the Measure Q funds, what would we call it if we don't want it coming out of general fund? Where would we say we want it coming out of?
It is a general fund.
It has to come out of general fund.
Yeah.
Okay.
Danny? I just would like to suggest that we vote on these separately, if that's okay.
Okay. Noah, do you have any comments?
Just a general comment. The $3,000 savings is definitely enticing. But if Susan's as uncomfortable as it's obvious she is with that adjustment, then it's hard for me to go forward with the recommended action there. That's my only comment.
Okay. Well, my thoughts are that the things the staff has agreed with Measure Q on are fine. I agree not that we should not replace our funding those loans ourselves. I think it's better to have the money available. The other thing, I'd rather not allocate the remaining $25,000 because the $850,000 was lovely last year. I sincerely doubt that it's going to be that much this year. Sales taxes are going to be down. I think that if we save that $25,000 and we have an emergency with our storm drains or streets or something like that, we've got a little bit put away to use for that. So I would like to just keep it in the Measure Q fund for those purposes and see which one of them needs it the most in the coming months and be able to fund that if we do need it. So that's my feeling on it. I'd rather not allocate it other than leave it in the Measure Q fund for emergency uses that are designated under Measure Q projects. So with that, first thing, I guess, let's see, if we're going to divide.
Madam Mayor, I'll make a motion.
Okay.
For the first part, and that is that we I would move that we do the payback for the loans, that we bring that in-house. I think that that's wisdom, and so I will move that and see if there's a second.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah, I'll speak to that. I highly respect these people, and I highly respect our city finance director as well. But when it comes to the will of the people, that's who we're supposed to be representing. And if they think that this is a better judgment, I'm going to go with that.
We've got a few out there right now that we could get hit, and those are the funds that would be used. Now, you're not hit all at one time, and that although we're self-insured, what happens is CJPIA pays that amount, and then your rates go up. So you would have to take that into effect. So it is there, not necessarily for a rainy day, but it's also there for your liability claims, and it's built up to its highest point. I'm proud of that, but I can't guarantee it's going to always be there either because there are unknown claims that we could have over the years.
No.
A quick clarification from my questioning earlier online, that the risk management fund is at $2.6 million approximately?
Well, just that we also have the Measure Q money that will be in this year against it, too. You know, whether it's less than $800,000, we'll still have that money towards the payoff.
Well, yeah, but to use $150,000, if it goes down to $600,000 or something, that's a huge chunk of the Measure Q. And what else do we not fund if we have to pay that loan off.
Well, it'd only be $125,000. We'd save about $4,000 in interest, and that would most likely be the police department's funding since it's their vehicles for their department.
Well, I'm going to go with the caution of our finance director. I'm going to trust her on that, being cautious at this point. So anyway, okay, we have a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay, 3-2, motion succeeds. Grantham and Peters opposed.
Would you like the next motion?
Sure.
The next motion would be that we follow the recommendations regarding the street department. As listed in the document, do I need to identify them? That we take the ADA ramps out of the general fund, that we put back the money for the software license renewal, and are those the only two items?
Street maintenance.
And that, yes.
And street maintenance.
For the street maintenance, you're saying, comes from the general fund before coming from Measure Q.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Any questions on the motion? Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. And then I think that still leaves their recommendation to allocate the remaining $25,000. Do we want to do that? My recommendation is we leave it in Measure Q.
I move that we leave the $25,000, approximate $24,000,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, remaining in Measure Q.
Second.
Okay.
Is that part of the Mr. Grantham's looking at the little chart on the front? Do we need to talk about the change in depreciation policy?
Does that need to be a separate motion?
If you want, if you're breaking everything up and you want to make a separate motion on that, yes.
Do you want me to include
that? All right, let's vote on the one that we've got right now, which is holding the $25,000 in the Measure Q fund.
I would think we wouldn't need to vote if it's just there.
They asked for an allocation.
Oh, they
asked it to be allocated, so we might as well give direction.
Do you want me to include that? So we can be done. And which one is it? That we leave the remaining money in the Measure Q fund and allocate according to, where is it?
Percent.
Not according to percent?
No, I think that's what they were. Well, I think it's really just a future motion.
I think we're mixing
action.
Up two
okay.
things. The one thing is just leaving the 24 or 25,000, whatever it is, in Measure Q to be allocated as needed. The other one that Betty's talking about is the depreciation policy. I think we should keep them separate.
Okay. I'll leave mine as standing then to leave the money in Measure Q.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. Now the depreciation one.
Well, it was Mr. Grantham brought this to my attention. I think your intent's probably to leave it, isn't it, sir? Did you want to just leave the policy as is?
I'm for leaving it as is.
Well, why don't you make that motion?
I'll make a motion that we continue the current policy regarding depreciation policy for police cars.
Do I hear a second? I'll second it.
I have a question.
Okay.
So when it talks about changing the depreciation policy, it, and then next to it, the recommended action is practice in place to rotate vehicles. I don't understand that. Could someone explain that? Does that mean we just continue with our three-year policy and continue to do that?
Yes. That would mean that we purchase a vehicle, we send it out on the street as a patrol car. Its useful life is approximately 2 to 3 years based on what kind of use and how active the use is. After the 2 to 3 year period, we retire it from active use, put it in a passive use as either a volunteer.
Stakeholders, as your first exhibit, I have provided you a red line version, and although there's a lot of red lines, it was really a lot of it was semantics, and then I provide you with a clean version. I think the three major issues for you, and you heard the public comment on that, is that it's staff's recommendation that instead of a 3%, you do a 2% a business improvement assessment district percentage, so that allows you the ability, if you do need to do an increase in TOT, you won't outprice the ability to do that. And it also is in line with the city of San Luis Obispo's and pass those 2% that they have done for their bids. The other issue has to do with the advisory body. The Street and Highways Code allow you to choose the makeup of that advisory body and whether it is a new advisory body or whether it's assumed into one of your current advisory bodies. Their recommendation was to have 4 hoteliers, 2 from promotion committee and the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce. And the 2 promotion committee members were contingent upon funding remaining at its current level. It's staff recommendation that you change that and eliminate the need for the executive chamber of director for the Chamber of Commerce. Staff's opinion is that you shouldn't pigeonhole any position for an advisory body into a certain position. You don't know who that position will be filled by, and it will really tie your hands on who would be able to sit on your board. And also, there shouldn't be any contingency on the promotion committee's member attached to funding. And the third issue had to do with whether to include vacation rentals. At your last meeting, I think there was a majority that did want to include vacation rentals. Staff, after looking at this issue closer, feels that at this time we should not be including the vacation rentals because we have not had the outreach. They have not been involved in any of the community involvement at the county level or for the petition that was supplied. And if you really want to adhere to this tight schedule, which will take tremendous amount of staff time just to get it all done, we feel that we agree with the stakeholders on that and that we should not put vacation rentals in at this point in time. You certainly, as to this or any issue, you can come back each year and change it. As to the percentage, you could do 2% now and look at it again next year and add an additional percentage. Or also you could, at that time, include vacation rentals. There is one point that was pointed out to me as to the schedule that I have outlined on page 4 of your staff report, is that there is a 45-day period that must incur from the date notice is given and the public hearing. So actually public hearing would be, instead of March 23rd, would be April 13th, and the subsequent dates would be backed up to April 27th, and the ordinance would be in effect May 27th, which would be before the Memorial Day. So we can do it. It's a very tight schedule. But I did want to nail down the language on the draft ordinance. I think it's important that we do nail down, you know, the percentage so we can tell the hoteliers in the notice exactly what the percentage is going to be, exactly who is and who isn't included, and that's why I brought forth the draft ordinance now for your review. A couple of the other items that I'm not sure if they're controversy, but they have been changed, just to let you know, is there's no administrative fee. There was a whole section on a 2% administrative fee. Since now that it isn't being a pass-through and it's your advisory body and your money that you're collecting in determining what the budget is each year, there is the amounts that the administration will be and would be included in the budget each year that's passed by you. So that's not set by any percentage amount. And I think that's it. I'm available for any questions that you may have.
Okay. Questions for staff? Noah?
Yes. So I'm not really, I don't quite understand that, what you're saying about why we wouldn't collect a fee to collect their money.
You actually will have that ability. Each year it'll be almost like, I'll take for example your promotions budget, you will have another budget that's for the Morro Bay Tourism Improvement District budget, and you will have within that budget whatever staff time is necessary, whatever the other categories are within that budget, okay. And that budget will be approved for you. It could be less than 1%, it could be more than 2%,
okay.
But you will set the budget as opposed to just the way the county was, is just an administrative fee, and then they would collect it and have their own budget for that stuff. So,
okay, no.
Yeah, Rob, as far as drafting the ordinance, do you think it'd be possible?
The promotions committee, you know, I think this is kind of going to be a work in progress. You know, it's tough to see how these two committees are going to have to work together and know how they spend money and where they spend. I mean, many issues come up when I look at it, you know, one being the web page, even Discover Your Better Nature and how that works between the two of them. And so, yes, I mean, there are many issues. Certainly one of your ways to do it is to have the ordinance, instead of designating exactly who's on the bid, you're able to designate just that you will appoint an advisory body, and that'll be done by resolution or and their bylaws. And I have that language. That's the language that was used in Paso Robles and other cities. That's one way to kind of solve that issue of how this committee is going to be formed and operate in the future. So, I mean, we could look at it, but I do have concerns that, and I don't think it's anything we have to deal at right now in the ordinance.
Well, except you would need that direction, right?
The direction of whether you could funnel.
Board members,
yes,
and stuff
advisory
like that.
Bodies, so, unless you wanted to use the PASO, and I could put that language on the board, or I can pass it around if you'd like to take a look at it.
Do they have a 7-member board?
What's that?
Do they have a 7-member board?
They don't. It does not list any board at all.
Oh.
They, in their ordinance, state language to the effect that. Oh, I thought I brought it.
Actually, I'm.
Are you looking for 36530?
Looking for PASO's wording.
The PASO's, no, not street and highways code, but the Paso Robles example of it in different language. I'll find it in a minute. Is there any other questions?
Any other questions?
I have two questions from the ordinance that was written by the hoteliers, but I think it's been taken out of the ordinance that Mr. Schultz wrote, so I don't know, are we all looking at both ordinances at this point and comparing, or are we choosing one over the other to look at?
Well, we've got the staff's recommendation and we've got the bids provided one, so I think we probably have to look at what we want of either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm assuming that we're not going to go for the one that they've given us just because it missed some important things and had some requirements that we may not want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say we're going to work with both of them.
Okay.
And come up with something that's the conclusive. I think I have PASO's right here in their bylaws, Rob.
Excuse
Is that
me?
Where it was?
What?
The PASO's membership?
No,
it's bylaws?
Within their ordinance. And
it's in the ordinance. Okay.
It's in their ordinance regarding advisory bodies.
Oh, okay. All right. So I probably don't have that then.
And that their ordinance does not designate exactly who at this time is going to be on the advisory body, which gives more discretion to the city council as to how that advisory body is going to be formed and operate.
Okay. Okay. So we got a couple of examples. We've got the comments that have been provided to us by the bid committee. Who'd like to start with ideas? And let's kind of concentrate on different issues so that we can get consensus on them, and then we can give some concise direction.
May I offer the comments that were offered?
Sure.
At the mayor's meeting? I think almost every city was there. Just so you know what the other cities are up to, mm-hmm. Grover Beach does not feel it has enough rooms, so they are not looking to either go with the county or form their own bid. Atascadero is actually going to go with the county bid. They did not pass it the other week on a technicality, but they are going to go with the county. SLO, as you know, has its own, and they are, and PASO also are going to go to 2%. Pismo Beach is still talking about it. They're going to have a workshop and talk about it in-house, whatever that means, with the community, with themselves, I don't know. But Ms. Reese, the mayor, said that they were going to have a workshop in their community. The county is looking at 3% for TOT at some point. So they're not thinking to stay at the 12%, but they would go on up to the 13%. I'm not clear if that meant adding 1% TOT on top of the 2% for the bid, but they were looking at going as far as 13%.
Royal Grande?
Royal Grande would like to come on. They feel they have, again, very limited hotel. I don't know why we would have two committees. And I guess if we're going to go with this, I'd like to see it become one committee. I don't want to see them fighting over funds. I don't want to see them. I know one has talked about saying we'll advertise in county, the other will advertise outside of county. It seems to me if we're going to go for it, that we need to have a clear, succinct, consistent message, and it's the same people doing the whole ball of wax. And I would just as soon have one body that's doing that. Now, if that's too much work, or if we need to go outside Mr. Sorgenfrei and hire a professional business to do that, I don't know. And therefore, I think we need to maintain some interest in it. But if this is... I have, I guess, uncomfortable feelings about the hotel. You're saying we want money to advertise, and we'll do the work. I almost feel like, why are we getting involved then? Why not turn the whole promotion over to them and let them do that? It's really not the city's business. I mean, if you want to talk about, we could contribute what we've contributed to the promotions committee, actually give it to them. But I don't know why we're in this business. If there's a professional company that's willing to do this, or professionals in the community that are willing to do this.
Okay. All right. Let's try and have an organized discussion on these issues. It seems to me that there's certain points that staff disagrees with the submitted bid ordinance. First of all, vacation rentals and RV parks. Are we all agreed that we don't want to include those at this point?
No, I'm very much in agreement that I do want the vacation rentals and I do not want the RVs.
Okay.
I think when I figured it out, we have about 20% of our community is empty houses. And if you figure if even half of those are vacation rentals, that's 600 rooms. That's like a 600 motel room that we would be losing money out on. So I would like to see those stayed in.
Rick, how do you feel about that?
Well, can I comment on a couple of other things also while we're at it?
As long as it's not the condition about promotion members, the chamber director, and the administrative budget, because those
okay.
are the points
right.
that I want us to discuss.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Where do we start? Well, I see the very good possibility that we're going to have to do a TOT increase. So I think... trying to be responsible and responsive and cooperative in this, I could go 2% if we're going to discuss that. And 2%, we're talking about $380,000 additional promotional money. Betty mentioned about fighting about the funds, and if there are two distinct groups and one group gets a certain amount of funds that the city provides and another group gets the assessment, there shouldn't really be a fight about the funds, but I'm not sure that they could be as an effective group if they were one body and worked together.
Mm-hmm.
So
that would give them $500,000 right there.
So, well, over $500,000. When you talk about chamber promotions and other monies going toward promotions. So
vacation rentals.
Vacation rentals, we're talking about $18,000 of revenue if vacation rentals were included in this. So that would be an additional $18,000. I could go. I could support that. I don't want to include the trailer parks. I think that's a whole different deal. Did you have anything else for me?
That's the first round.
Okay.
Then we'll come back to other discussions. Noah, vacation rentals, trailer, RV parks.
I'm inclined to follow staff's recommendation and the stakeholders' recommendation on those. I understand that they're With the vacation rentals, there are already existing reservations that have been made. If the council feels very strongly to include the vacation rentals, so be it. I think it'd be something that we should evaluate at the end of this first cycle and consider to include. Along the lines of RV parks, at this point, I prefer to keep those out.
Okay. Carla?
I'm going to echo that. I support omitting the RV parks and would entertain looking at the vacation rentals maybe down the road and give them an opportunity to have the first year with just the hotel years.
Okay, and that's how I feel too. No RV parks, and I would like to wait on the vacation rentals and see how they can come into this comfortably and effectively. I'm just not sure how this is going to work effectively for them. See them as the same.
Well, that's why they should be included on the committee, so their needs are taken into account. If they are a substantial number of rooms in our community, then they need to be involved, and we need to be getting money from them.
Okay. The consensus at this point is yes.
Well, I just point out that up to this point, they haven't been brought into even the stakeholders or even seen whether they would or not. At least my proposal would be is over the next 6 months while this is being collected, you reach out to those vacation home people and determine whether there is a percentage that wants to be brought aboard. My concern, and I think the stakeholders' concern, is they would be getting a notice resolution, and if there are that many rooms out there, that by 50% vote, they could oppose this and knock it out completely, and now we're back to square one, and we didn't get any of the money going. So that would be mine. Is the next 6 months is to do an outreach and see as the money's being collected, and see if there is a 50% that's not opposed to this from the vacation rental groups, and then go from there.
Well, and also the board that determines where the money is going, they'll be able to give a better idea to the vacation homeowners what they're going to get for their buck. So that might take 6 months to a year.
All right. So consensus is that at this point they're not going to be included. We'll see how it goes and whether they should be included later on.
But we're coming back to a date certain in 6 months? Or a year? I just need to have that answered, clarified.
I'd like to try to get it wrapped up by the end of this year so that we don't have that contract problem. So, you know, yeah, I think if we can try to get it done sometime and have a clear direction and try to get to you by the end of the year, I think that's something we can do.
Calendar year or fiscal year?
Calendar year. Calendar year.
Okay. So by the end of this calendar year. Okay. All right.
Along those lines, with item number 3 the submittal list from the stakeholders, that there's a discussion about voluntary contributions. Is this the appropriate place to include that as part of our deliberations?
Sure, we'll have to discuss it. Sure. Go ahead.
Well, it seems appropriate to have that clause in there in the case that there is a group or a body that would like to voluntarily participate. So it makes sense to me to include that.
I didn't take that out.
Okay, great.
Okay. All right, next item. Let's see. Let's go for the percentage. 2%, 3%? Okay, give me your number and your reasons. Rick?
Well, I stated them earlier. I think it gives us a little more flexibility when we look at our future needs. I think 2% is responsible, it's reasonable, and it's responsive.
Okay, Betty?
I think if each percent is worth $187,000, that's $187,000 the city's not getting. And so even though we will get indirect money from them, supposedly hoping the economy gets better and their advertising works really well, then we will see some benefit, but it won't be to the full benefit. So I'm supporting what Mr. Grantham is suggesting at 2%.
With the idea of going for a TOT.
With the understanding that we will put on a 1% TOT in a year.
Noah?
Well, I am really excited about the potential with this and the organization and collaboration opportunities that this is going to present. I also still am intrigued by the county BID process, and I would hope that as that proceeds and develops, we would put ourselves in a position to be able to potentially be a player in that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm hesitant to go to a 3% I was inclined towards the 3% when I thought it would be possible to potentially displace some of our current funding of the Promotions Committee to help us pull those funds back into the general fund potentially, and understanding that that is more challenging, and also that we can take a look at this once we get through the first cycle. It's a new body. It's a substantial increase to the amount of promotions that we currently fund. We can take a look at how this is being managed and then at that point decide, wow, we're seeing some excellent results down the road. We'd like to increase this funding or not. And so with that said, I think 2% is probably the prudent place to start and consider expanding it in the future, but also give us the chance to expand into the county as that progresses as well. So okay. At this point, I'm feeling more comfortable with the 2%.
Carla?
Well, I could say 3% and look good to my friends because I'm going to get outvoted anyway. I think if the consensus here is going to be 2%, it would be irrelevant if I want 3% for them. I would hope that if there is the success that we're...
3%, 3%. I was thinking, okay, 3% because we did back out of the county. Our room rates are lower than Paso and the other towns, so it would kind of bring us up to equal with that. 2% leaves the door open for, you know, those people that are looking at what the TOT is, and oh my gosh, then it goes up. Well, yeah, but that wouldn't show. I was thinking that it'd show as a 13% then, but it won't. TOT is still only going to be red as 11% if we add one to the 10 that exists now. So I've kind of gone back and forth and back and forth on it. And I looked at our room rates, and I figured, okay, what's 3%? It's about $3 on a lower room rate. It's $6 on a higher room rate. And, again, it is the option of the hotel owner to absorb it or charge it. I don't think – I did have a call from a small motel owner who was very concerned because he said he's already losing business because of the financial situation that the nation is in, and that even the extra $2 or $3 could make the difference between his guests staying the usual 4 or 5 days and cutting it back to 2 or 3. So it really is problematic no matter how you look at it. I think I probably would have gone for the 3% and then still reserve a 1% TOT for us. So, I don't know, anybody else want to consider 3% if Carla and I were going to go for it? Anybody else persuaded?
Well, my thoughts are if we stick with the 2, we should remain committed to the funding of our promotion committee at the current levels. That's an important body to include more members and perspectives within the discussion, and it does, again, lead the opportunity for more local regional promotions and marketing, which I think is important right now. The 3% is interesting because it could be launched in the very near future, and it could be observed for a short period and then decided upon. And that would still leave us room to potentially make an adjustment from 3 to 2% if we think, wow, we really need this TOT increase in the future and to make that adjustment. I don't want to jump around like that, though.
And yeah.
At this point, 2% does seem like the most... it's a great increase. It's a significant amount of money, and we can always increase it in the future. So I'm feeling fairly stable at that.
Okay, so it looks like the consensus is 2%. Okay. Did you want to say something else, Rick?
Just one thing. Since we talked about this last, I did have some ex parte communication that I should probably disclose.
Okay.
I don't need to?
Not under our – you can if you would like, but it's not required under ex parte
communications. Well, nothing to hide. I had lunch with the very persuasive John Solu last week, and we discussed this, and it's the one person I met with.
Okay, next, administrative budget. I don't know if we have to discuss that. We've
just decided that'll be absorbed, as with any other committee. Is that okay with everybody?
No, I have a question, though. So that just leaves it uncertain, Rob, taking the flat percentage out? I mean,
yes,
since there
is... You are in charge of this money. When it comes into you, you will determine the budget amount in that. It all has to be used for the purpose of the bid, but you will be in charge of having a separate budget and accounting for all the monies within that budget and what they're used for.
How does San Luis Obispo and Paso
every single tourism bid that I researched and looked at it does it this way?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so that's done. The condition regarding the request, well, first of all, I guess we should decide, are we going to have a promotions committee and a bid committee? Who is in favor of keeping them separate? I am.
I'm in favor of keeping them together.
Okay, Betty's voting for one committee, I'm voting for two. Promotions committee and a bid committee, separate committees.
Separate.
With a couple of joint members.
Separate.
Noah?
I want to keep them separate. I definitely want to keep the promotions committee active, especially in the short term as we transition between the two. I think there's an important voice there.
Okay. Rick?
I'd like to see them work together.
Okay. All right, we got 3-2 on that. We can discuss it more, but it seems we've got consensus.
Yeah, I think
so
work together, yes, but the committee's separate. They're separate funds.
Well, and I totally agree. I mean, this is money that they're collecting. It's theirs, and they should have the greater say in how it's used. Our promotion committee can follow our direction, but...
Makeup of the bid board, not so much whether it be assumed into another one or not.
Okay, then the next question is, what is that committee going to be comprised of? Who is that committee going to be comprised of? Question about the chamber director. I feel that that is a reasonable requirement to have the chamber director as part of that bid committee.
Rob, could you tell us why you removed him?
Yeah, I think it really ties your hands. You know, it's your advisory body as opposed to maybe a member of the chamber. You know, if you look back over the history, would you have wanted every executive member of the chamber to be on this board? You know, I think Peter is a great fit for it right now, and you certainly could if it wasn't designated, he could be picked for it. But I'm just concerned of the unknown and who could be in that position, and you would be stuck with that person, even if all five would never want him on that board. And it is your advisory board.
Mr. Schultz is the president of the chamber or the director of the chamber. He's an ex officio on the promotions committee.
Yeah, he's not a voting member, but he goes to all and gives reports and gives his input to it. And I also, in my research, didn't find a single other bid, but I didn't research every single one, but I didn't find any that had a specific designation of the chamber being on the board.
On there it said two promotions committee members, and you left that in.
Yes, I left it in, but took out the proviso that it would only that those members could only be on the board if funding remained at its current level.
Okay.
I'm just going to read something out of PASO's. What is this? This is their bylaws. They said that their bid committee shall be 7 members. And 2 membership categories, 2 members from the hotelier member of the promotions committee and 5 members from the general hotelier membership category. So it's looking at 5 hoteliers, 2 people from promotions. So we would have the double ability to appoint those 2. We'll appoint them to promotions. We would also be able to appoint them to this committee. But the hoteliers would be able to provide 5 members from their group. And I think that certainly we should go with their recommendations on those appointments. I can't guarantee that because it is open to our appointment authority, but I think that that would be something we would all try to do.
As another variable, I think along the lines of collaboration, to make sure that we are encouraging these two bodies to work together, that we consider including a member of the BID, a representative of the BID, on the promotions committee.
That's a good idea, too. Yeah.
make that a category.
The chamber also has the representation on the promotions committee, so that person could be the person selected to be
That's
on
true.
The BID, so they would have a representative.
All right, so how do we feel? Do we want to, we don't want to make the chamber director a requirement? No?
I think if they have the opportunity to have representation through that promotions committee with those two positions, that could be one of the chamber reps. I like the way PASOS is done.
Noah, you agree?
I'm comfortable with that.
Rick? Betty? I'm sorry. Did you want?
A chamber member chosen by the council.
Mm-hmm. Which we can do.
And you know, maybe on an annual basis.
That can be our promotion person or something. Betty?
They wanted to hear you.
What I said was instead of having the executive director be put on there like that, have a member of the chamber be represented on there and have the ability to change that member on an annual basis.
So a change member. Okay.
And as a point of clarification, a chamber member means a board member on the chamber?
That would be your clarification to make. And I think that's a good suggestion to be a little bit clearer, because there is board members and just chamber members.
That was my intent.
Okay.
Well, okay, then if their initial situation was, okay, they wanted their hotel members and a chamber director, perhaps a chamber board member or director, that work? Some I'm getting yes, some I'm getting no.
It doesn't matter.
But then, Mayor, I would suggest that the promotions committee representatives not be the chamber reps then.
Yeah, right.
Because there's two or three of them on the promotions committee already, so I would want clarification that that not be a double representation.
Okay, they were saying four is only being allowed if we continue to fund promotions to the extent that we have been. I'm all for removing that one.
That they should be allowed regardless?
Yes. Because we can't say, I mean, certainly we're going to try and keep funding it, but we don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Agreed on that?
We'll continue to have a promotions committee, obviously, because you're not willing to combine them. So there will always be someone there we can appoint.
Yes. Are we in agreement on that? Okay. All right. Those are the conditions that I had. Did I miss anything? We've got no vacation rentals or RVs at this point, but we're going to look at the end of the calendar year. We're going to have a chamber representative as one of the seven members. We're going to have the two promotion members, irregardless of funding. We're going to have 2%, and we're going to have two committees, keep promotions and the bid committee separate.
Correct, but I'm not going to put the two committees, there will be two separate committees in the ordinance, and that will give you greater discretion at a later day to combine them into one, the one being the bid.
Okay.
Can you clarify your member? Do you mean to say board member, as you were talking about before?
Well, Betty was saying that let them choose their chamber representative. Do we want to do that?
Yeah.
To let the board choose who they want to come to the meeting? Is that? I mean, you're on the board, so would that work or no?
Or let the bid board choose which chamber member they would like.
From a process standpoint, what will happen is this will be another one of your advisory bodies. Each year there will be applications that will be sent out. You'll have bylaws that will come forward to you for your approval. And each year you will have your interviews of these hoteliers and of the promotions committee members that want to serve on both. And then there would be this other executive member of the board or the executive director. I think by default they could certainly just put in one person for that position, and then you'd be obligated to pick that person.
Yeah.
But again, I don't like tying your hands. I want to give you as much discretion as possible. And for future councils, that instead of someone else picking who's on their advisory body, that the council is doing that. And that would be my suggestion, would be to have that person actually be either on the executive board of the Chamber of Commerce or be the executive director.
Okay. Is that all right with everybody?
All right. Do you need any other direction, or is that?
No, I don't, because this was just almost like a workshop. I mean, and you will have the ability still to make changes at your next meeting. That's when I really want to have it nailed down, because the fall, right the day after that, the resolution goes out with the draft ordinance, with the notices and everything, and that's when it can still be changed, but it certainly will be nailed down to a large degree at your next meeting.
I thought of one other question I had. The 50% required to dissolve this, is that based on rooms or on hotels? Because some of our smaller hotels, I know that there's a concern that they won't have any say one way or the other because they don't have enough rooms to fight the big hotels.
They pay more too, though. The bigger hotels pay more for your TOT or would pay more into the bid. Mm-hmm. So it's based on rooms. So yes, I mean if you're a four bedroom.
So even if we had 30 small motels come and object when they had two fewer rooms than three or four big ones, that would be it.
That's correct.
Okay.
One way to maybe address that would be to, in the committee appointments, make sure we have, you know, a small hotel owner, medium hotel owner, something like that.
Yeah. Yes, that certainly is a way. I mean, I saw it in, I think, some of them that I remember looking at so many of these that there was a representative from, like, the bed and breakfast, and they had that defined. So that is a possibility still that you could make that change at your next one if you consider that a need. But I think I've got enough direction to come back at our next one.
All right.
Can I get a point of clarification, Mayor Peters? You had said to bring back the vacation rentals and RV parks. Can you make sure that that was to exclude RV parks and just bring back?
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
The
exclude
vacation rentals will bring
permanently.
Back the year.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I did misstate that. Okay. Yes.
One last thing, just generally. I think a good intent for us as a goal as we proceed would be to include the restaurants and in some form of a representative from that group within these discussions as a means to encourage packaging and collaboration between the two different industries, but related industries. So generally, I think that would be something for us to keep as a goal, whether it's through the promotions committee or on the BID.
Okay. All right, so do you need a motion on this, or is it just the direction you have?
Just a workshop, and I've got clear enough direction to at least work on this draft and bring it back to you in a clean draft along with the resolution at your next meeting.
Okay. There we go. Thank you for your patience. And we will move on to D3, which is consideration of the flexible spending account benefit for health and dependent care
per allocation. Also, though, the city can benefit if an employee does not spend his or her allocation by the end of the plan year, because the balance is then forfeited to the city. Four out of the seven incorporated cities in Slo County offer this benefit. Those cities felt that the program was very positive for the employees and that the city did not lose money as a result of this program. And that's my presentation, and back to you.
Do you know if the other cities, were they charging the employee for this monthly fee, or were they absorbing it?
It looks like Atascadero, the employee pays the monthly fee. San Luis Obispo, the employee pays the fee. And Pismo Beach said the city pays.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah. So correct me if I'm wrong, Susan. This is pretty much a savings account for health care benefits that includes doctors, eyeglasses, child care, anything associated with health care.
That's correct, health and dependent care.
So on your report, third or fourth paragraph here, if the employee terminates his or her employment with the city after having spent his or her annual eFlex account balance, the city is obligated for the unpaid portion of that employee's account. So would it be a judicious decision for the city to have a maximum withholding of, say, $2,500 per employee to protect the city from that happening? Or at least minimize the damage, possible damage.
Yes, I would definitely recommend that we start with a low amount, and low, I mean about $2,500, mainly because we don't know how everyone's going to feel about it, and the city doesn't want to be exposed. It looks like the other cities are quite comfortable on the dependent care limit of $5,000 and anywhere from $25,000 to $3,000 on the medical limit. So I'm comfortable with a low amount to start with and see how it goes, and then maybe go, you know, increase from there.
Other questions? Carla?
Oh, are you done, Rick?
Betty?
Go ahead.
I have two questions. Is this available to all full-time and part-time employees?
This would be available to all benefited employees. So it would be full-time, part-time could participate if it's a part-time with benefits. Yes.
My second question then is, I can see where this basically right now is at little or no cost to us. But could this in the future become part of like a bargaining agreement or something that would be something down the road that we would have to look at if we set a precedent now by establishing this?
I would defer that to our city manager.
I knew I was going to get an answer to answer the question. It certainly could be bargained. It's a pretty small cost at this point. You could throw it in the bargaining. As I say that, it's actually got to be citywide, so all units would have to agree, because it's not something that it has to be offered to the entire city. It can't be offered to just one unit and not another. So you could bargain it, but it would make it a little bit difficult. I wanted to throw out one other thing, and that the couple things that council might want to think about if you're concerned about costs. Certainly, you could start out by the employees paying the monthly cost. I don't think that's a bad plan, certainly. Secondly, we did do an additional listserv for this, which is basically a questionnaire to all the cities in California about what they're doing, and we didn't attach that. But the results were fairly consistent with the city actually making some money from the program, and because of people that didn't use their accounts. And then that money was used to pay for the premium cost for the following year. So that's something that once we get some experience, we could set up. Hope that answers your questions.
Okay. Other questions?
Comments?
Go ahead.
I'm only willing to do this if the employee pays the monthly fee. Otherwise, if everyone takes advantage, I figure it's going to be around $7,000 a year that the city's paying out. And I'm not willing to incur new costs. So if the employees want to do that and pay for it, okay.
Rick?
Does that math make sense, Susan, 7,000? I thought it would be more like 600. Is it 7,000?
It's if you took 100 employees and
pre-tax dollars. I can't think it off the top of my head. So that, premiums that are not paid by the city, the additional amount that the city employee pays that's not covered by the city, the premium, the thought initially was that was not pre-tax dollars, so people were excited to use this money for that. But those are already pre-taxed, so that might have cut out some of your employees that are interested in doing it.
Okay. Well, I'm willing to give it a try at the $2,500 limit. I agree. You want to go ahead and make a motion?
Would that be a $2,500 limit for medical and a $2,500 limit for dependent? So it's $5,000 collectively.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, that wasn't my intent, but I was thinking $2,500 per family, per employee per family. Are we going to raise it by $2,500 for every dependent that family has? Or
well,
are we just going to say
it would be the dependent would be for daycare. So if you were looking at establishing a dependent, dependent care, you're looking at one for health, for medical, for the family, and one for dependent care
okay,
for
let me
the
try
family.
This.
So you'd have the two pots of money.
Thank you. Then I'll say
$2,500 with withholding per employee, $5,000 per family, and the employee pays all fees associated with the plan. Why do we have to? We have to pay the initial?
I don't know how you would divvy it out because we don't know who's going to be involved yet.
Exactly.
The setup charge.
I don't know how the how we would divvy
okay.
that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Then, then the city would pay the initial setup charge, $2,500 per employee, $5,000 per family. Withdrawal, withholding.
It doesn't break down that way on the chart, though, Rick.
Councilmember Grantham, I think what we need is we need to know, it wouldn't matter if it was a family or not, we need to know how much the council would allocate for the annual medical dollar limit, which it sounds like you're going for $2,500, and then dependent care amount, which could be $5,000,
okay.
Or it could be $2,500. All the other cities have done $5,000. I think it's a little bit different with the dependent care in that I don't believe you're able to spend that dependent care at the get-go of the year. I believe that that is a monthly takeout, so the chance of losing the $5,000 is nil. Does
okay,
that make
sense? Well, would it work to say $2,500 for annual medical dollar limit and a total of $5,000 for, or another $2,500 for dependent care dollar limit?
If those are limits, yes, that would work.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the motion.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. Thank you. Future agenda items.
I have one. I'll start off. And that is we have our I'm not exactly sure of the title of it, the Business Development Ad Hoc Committee that Bill Pierce was on originally and has kind of languished, I guess. I think we need to have another appointee made official. I know that Noah's been interested in serving on that. And I think you're on it. Is that correct?
Or?
Would you like to remain, or should we look at somebody else? Or anyway, well, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to discuss.
Yeah.
Okay. And do I have agreement with that? Yes.
I think it's important to, if I may, just interject, is maybe to bring back also just maybe a mission statement or what that subcommittee
is. Yeah, exactly.
Is kind of,
I think we've gotten a little fuzzy on it.
And I would say maybe we need to try to remember to do that when we do subcommittees because. You know, for example, the mobile home one, I had forgot what its even mission was. I thought it was related back to the first time and had to be reminded, no, it had to do with the conversion. So I think it is good to have a statement of what each one's
okay.
for when we do that.
So we do want to bring that back. Who supported that? Noah, did you support bringing it back?
Sir.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Any other future agenda?
I was kind of interested to know, it seems likely that we're going to have an update on a general update on wave energy and our recent filing to be an intervener party. Seems like at some point soon to have Rick just give us a general informational update for us and the public on that issue. I'm assuming that that's probably coming at us anyway, but
yeah,
I want to be sure of that.
I'm not sure how fast it will move, but we can bring something back and update. And I think what Noah was mentioning was is we filed today with FERC, the Federal Energy Commission, a motion to intervene based on
with Susan tomorrow to develop that agenda item, and it seems like we'll have that ready for the next meeting.
Okay. Excuse me. Can you go back to the APCD presentation? And what is that going to be concerning?
It's a presentation, and we'll work out the date. You don't have to have a staff report for it.
Okay.
Future agenda table that we give, is it on any set subject? So at least
it'll be on the developing laws, AB 32, and so on, an
okay.
update from APCD's perspective about things we should be aware of.
I have a couple.
Okay.
I'd like to agendize the letter that the mayor from Arroyo Grande asked us to talk about. It's with regard to, and these are capital letters, CalEMA, C-A-L, space, E-M-A, and it has to do with a subcommittee or a League of Cities Public Safety Policies Committee. I'll make a copy and give this to the city manager.
Okay.
This is your copy, and Chief Pond asked for a copy. And maybe he and I can do the letter or presentation regarding this item. And it probably needs to be done within the month, if I can make it to a date certain.
I would support that. Anybody else? Okay. Yes, we have support for that.
And my second one is what I had put out in the email asking for some detailed accounting regarding where we stand with grant money from the state, how much we owe, how much they owe us, that kind of thing. I copied all the council on that. And Ms. Luker suggested I get council support to get that data, which I think is important to have before we have our workshop this month. So in order to make budget decisions, I think we need to know where we stand.
Before which workshops? The management partners one or our budget workshops?
Management.
Okay. Is that something that can be done?
I'm concerned about the timeline for prior to our – we've got like two holidays and staff gone.
Yeah.
Could we have something workshop? At least – in the ballpark of that, at least how much this has cost? I think we're only talking three grants, aren't we? The roundabout, the harbor walk, and the fire station.
We can certainly provide some general information. My concern with all the information that Councilmember Winholtz asked for is that it was just going to take some significant time to put together. But we can certainly do an overview. That's no problem. That can be put together relatively quickly, probably 15, 20 minutes. To give you an overview of where we are. I think that's okay. We can do that.
And it's important to remember with the roundabout that we don't have all the costs for that project in.
Mm-hmm. The other two are mostly finished, but that one's not.
That one is not. We don't know. The contractor has worked with us very well on all the delays, but we don't know if he is going to present any type of delay claim for the delays associated with obtaining the property that was necessary when there was a change in the design. So that one, I think what the city manager is saying, we're afraid to give you figures and then find out those figures weren't correct until we know what everything is.
Mm-hmm. And if I could at least acknowledge what the different funds were, like we were talking about the sewer and the water as well as general fund, not just the impact to general.
Okay, so we're in agreement we'd like an overview before the management partners. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. Anything else? Okay. Then Noah has the closing quote tonight.
All right. It's my honor. Entangled in efficiency, we have forgotten why we wanted to be efficient in the first place. That's Julio Alaya.
I like that. With that, we're adjourned.